Well, we're here. We might as well make it official. Greetings. Welcome, everybody. This is our official DSROA board meeting. And so, let's see. We should have an opening prayer, and then we'll have a little roll call. And that spiritual giant over there in the corner, Larry Bear, would give us an opening prayer, would you, Larry?
Our Father in heaven, as we meet together as Deer Springs, we ask Thy Spirit to be with us, that we might be able to accomplish those things that need to be accomplished. We might have Thy Spirit, we will be able to do the things that Thou would have us do, and so that the ranch might be able to function the way it needs to. Grateful for the opportunity to be here. We do this in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Larry. So, let's see. Candy, roll call in for board members. I guess you can just kind of look at us and
see who's here.
See who's here.
We have one more than we thought we had.
Yeah, so we have five board members here. That's great. Appreciate y'all being here.
Thank God.
And so, I think you've received by email copies of the minutes.
Conference muted.
And let's see. Never mind. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes that anybody would like to make from last month?
Did we get the corrected one out? Did we do that? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have a copy, though, but I can look it up online.
Well, seeing as there are none, I would entertain a motion that we accept the minutes as they are.
I'll second that.
Joe so moves, and second Art seconds it.
All right, okay.
Words in Art's mouth. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so usually those minutes have been approved, and they can be posted to the website. So we're right into our ranch report. Then we'll ask Nancy and Paul to...
I think Linda put Nancy's name on there because she thought I was going to be gone for some reason. We're just getting right in.
Physically?
Go on. Physically. So the past month, 3 weeks ago, there was 4 feet of snow here. So, I mean, I don't know if you could tell, but it's doing wonders for the grasses that are coming up. You go up the canyon, a lot of the brush hogging that's been done. Is to keep that grass.
I noticed that our Kubota out there just in the coming, so you're doing that field.
Yeah, that's new.
Just, there's a little piece there. I've never done it since I've been here, and I've always wanted to get to it. So I've started there. I need a park for the PTO, but that's all I'm waiting for to get back on. my plan with brush hogging is I'd like to do all of this out here in the next couple months while it's still somewhat cool, along with all my other duties that I have going on. Working with Leland, the reason why I haven't done this is, for example, you look at Broad Hollow, back up in Broad Hollow, that field there. I brush hogged the sagebrush, and they tilled it and they planted it, and there's rabbit brush this high up there. So working with Leland on some kind of chemical to kill the rabbit brush to come back. That rabbit brush just destroys the grass and any kind of growth that it has. So,
and anybody with allergies is really...
Yeah.
And you like, you lose all production from me when the rabbit brush blooms.
Yeah. But I did notice where we brush hog closer in, that the grass has grown a little better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Through there.
I mean, it's night and day. So... Yeah. You know, my plan is the next couple months to get a lot of this done. Working with Brent on this road right here that got washed out with his dozer and some other work here. But that's kind of my plan for the brush hog. The cabins, we've done a lot. You know, after the meeting, I'd like you guys to kind of go through this cabin and look and see. Nancy's pretty excited about some of the small improvements that we've done, like the chairs that you guys are sitting on. You know, this cabin has always been notorious for, you know, a bad chair. So, you know, there's some nice chairs. There's new mattresses.
New bedding upstairs.
We'll let her.
New shower curtains.
We'll let her get to that. But
that Jody donated.
That has steers on them.
The cabins, the water systems. The water here is good as far as the system at headquarters. I haven't turned the water into some of these other cabins, 6, 9, and 10, just because reservations aren't until mid-May.
Excuse me one sec. Yeah. Just, you guys can come find a seat if you want to be any further in, anybody. We're in here. Or...
Plus, we're still getting some real bad wood. Nights, cold.
Yeah.
Every night.
Okay. Just want to make sure you're all... why don't you tell us, I don't know who you guys are. Are you the B guys or...
I'm Lloyd, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Glad you're here. Thanks.
Continue?
Keep going, Paul.
Okay. So, you know, mid-May is usually when we start having reservations for the upper cabins. The lower cabins, depending on weather, you know, I try and get them, you know, that first week of May. And people have asked me why I haven't opened them earlier. You know, it snowed here the other day, and the pipes for the laundry froze. You know, it's cold still up here. So there's been some people go to the upper system to try and pull water, and there's no water in the upper tank. So they've had to come down here and get water. But that's another discussion about pulling water from up there.
So you plan on opening those cabins again? I'm sorry, when?
Upper cabins mid-May.
Mid-May.
They'll be open by the first week of May so that Nancy can clean them.
Yeah, it's a process. Cleaning them takes a long time.
The water be the same time?
No. I'm going to start water probably another week. Just getting it to the tank up there takes, I think, 3 or 4 days. To start getting something.
It'll pump 1,500 gallons a day.
Yeah.
And we got 14,000 gallons we got to put up the mount.
Roads up the canyon, I've started grading from Meadow Canyon, the county road, up through to Broad Hollow. And, you know, you get down this far and it's still a little soft. And with that big grader, it really kind of cuts into that. So, I'm not going to wait until it dries up completely, but I plan on getting at least to the ponds here in the next couple of weeks. Working with Robert Musco on a plan for, you know, doing some work in Sly Canyon, some culvert work and some gravel work. So, you know, that's kind of him and I have been working on that. The county, I called the county last week and just asked them if they were going to come out with any kind of equipment. I needed that first cattle guard right there when you come off the hill, that first cattle guard when you cross the deer strings. There's been some people dragging tires through the scooting paw and they've drug, you know, gravel the last couple of years.
Wasn't me.
Yeah, right. No, there's a couple of people so I asked them if they'd come out and dig that up, and that next Monday, they were out there with a backhoe, and they cleaned that out. But they also cleaned out this hill right here, the road that goes through this hill. There's a couple culverts that shed water from one side to the other, and the guy graded right over it and just plugged every culvert on that side. So all the water coming off the hill went right down across, plugged our culvert, and I kind of like the water, but we need a culvert there. And so working with them, they might come and replace that culvert right here by the archway. But the other two culverts are open now. So
that's the same as the root canal. Can you take care of that?
Yeah. another thing I wanted to get with Robert Allen, first week of May, I want to send a water sample to Chemtech Ford. I know we've talked back and forth about sending the water samples to SUU. This last year I had an issue with SUU on our nitrate sample, and it kind of messed up our credit system with the state. It's all fixed now, but it was just kind of a hassle with our nitrate water sample.
The other places where?
Chemtech Ford in SEU, the water lab in SEU. We usually drive it over there, drop it off, and it's done, but Chemtech Ford has a little bit better process, and they also document it via email or online records, something that we need to start keeping.
Good.
As far as my report, that's it. You know, there's other issues on here that we could go through when we get to them.
I'm sure we'll talk with our beekeeper friends. I'd asked you in an email to just assess. There was some talk about a little road damage here and there from the big rig. Would everything go okay?
The only road damage I really saw, you know, the thing was, is Fred Searle came down. Hey, you know, they're tearing up the road throughout the ranch. And, you know, I was like,
so it's kind of a panic mode.
Yeah. And I drove through and I saw one spot that, you know, looked like somebody kind of got a little squirrely, but that was it. The road up to where the bees were
fine.
Was fine.
The road was not damaged.
The road past where the bees were was fine, good. So I didn't see anything. All I did is I went and documented just like you guys asked me to, and that's it.
Great.
So I'll let the board decide.
Good for the beekeepers. Okay.
We're on your side.
Oh, cool. Okay, so Nancy's going to tell us a little more about the fixins here?
Just after... After
okay, the little tour?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's
after
a lot
the
of
tour,
them.
I can just tell them real quick my part of it, what I've done.
Yeah.
I have a report to.
Okay.
Replaced all the mattresses in this cabin. And, I mean, they're here. Brad and Tammy brought them down so we didn't have to go get them. And so they're staying in the cabin in exchange for
bringing
them
out.
Thank you.
And so we installed them and got all the new bedding on them and stuff, and it's beautiful. And Kathy Duvall donated curtains. She made these curtains for this cabin and the little swag thing, and there's a table runner that goes on here and that all matches them, that happens to be the same colors that are kind of in the bedrooms down here that kind of, you know, get pulled together and matches. Huh? Matching.
Anyway,
that's
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, everything
when you see
matches,
it, you're not going to believe the upstairs.
Hodgepodge.
Best this has ever looked.
Anyway, I put a little love seat up there. So it's.
I think what we're trying to do is start something. You know, 5 years ago we did a thing where people would adopt a cabin. And we tried to, you know, work with one cabin here. And, you know, I think it was
Joe and Candy
did something with a cabin or two. And just little fixings here and there and a mattress and just try, you know, that was 5 years ago and it just really didn't kind of pan out. But I think we'd like to get on a system to where in 5 years, you know, there's decent mattresses in every cabin. There's some 25 and 30 year old mattresses in these cabins that are very
unhealthy. They're decrepit. Forgetting all, they're decrepit.
So, you know, hopefully with the system that we have now with the cabins paying for themselves, it's not going to be such a big hit on our budget. So.
Yeah, most, I donated 25 mattresses about 20 years ago and they were used when I got them.
So
just,
they threw away
They really need to get replaced.
I'm
really old now.
I just threw away about 15 of those
yeah.
from the Luxor.
Yeah, I brought in 25 from the Luxor that were about 4 years old at the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do any other board? Oh, go ahead, Nancy.
I have more stuff that
okay.
I did. That's all not right. all. That was a month.
Right.
So the store is obvious. When you go into the store, you'll notice that it's in process. It's not complete and ready to go, but you can tell it's cleaner. You know now. I mean, it's obviously getting ready to open. But Paul has put a lot of things in there from the tourism thing.
I don't know if you guys saw the sign when he came in. But I think that's going to turn a lot of people to headquarters area. And so working with Jody on T-shirts and working with, you know, trying to get like a hub to where people can come. And I think there'll be more people come in and pick up a pamphlet and pick up some information about Deer Springs or the area and spend a little money and a little time. But.
And I have my friend that's a professional sign maker, Tammy Hunt.
Yeah.
She made me a sign that has all the prices of all of it so you can know how much a pop is, how much a bottle pop is. You know, I'm not trying to write it on the chalkboard and you'll see it. It's nice. The bathrooms are open and clean and ready to go and functioning. And but, oh, and there's a storage place behind the store. There's a little room back there that we've never, it's always just been a hodgepodge of whatever somebody stuck in there. I've never taken everything out of there. And you know, I've looked in there and shut the door because it's like, So I pulled.
It's a scary room.
So I pulled everything out.
It was the nightmare
out.
Room.
It's where Judy used to sleep.
It was hideous in there.
I pulled everything out.
Just quick, close it.
Well, I mean, there'd be donations. There'd be donations from like candy for the annual meeting. You know, flowers and just decorations. Where do you put all that stuff?
I stuck them in a bin, and I had them in the store before. And like all the ice chests were in the store before. And not that that's a bad place for them, but now they're all in that room. All the tables and chairs that we've purchased for out here go in that room when they're not in use. It's all organized and looks like somebody gives a crap.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm glad you do.
It's been a pretty productive month.
Yeah, is there anything you need to do for the laundry room coming up? You know, the one out there. We talked about different kinds of things for.
I found what I want there, but it's going to take a while.
We need to take it down and bring in one of those sheds that they deliver by truck with a nice porch and a door, and that's down the road.
Okay, yeah.
We're making do with what we have.
Well, I didn't know if there was anything that needed to be done. For the season coming up because of all the water problems and different things.
It doesn't leak. It doesn't leak into the shed. It did before Paul dug that thing out on the side of it last year.
Yeah, we did some drainage work on it.
Yeah, they did drainage. Yeah, oh, and Brent, too. They did the drainage on it, so now it doesn't rise up and sit and leak in onto the floor.
Okay.
So that part is good. So I just don't go in there today.
This may be redundant. You probably gave us the answer a time or two ago, but we get the sewer dump situation out here.
It's sitting there, and we're, I don't know if I'm going to have Brent help me with it. We talked about digging it back this way, about 20 feet, so when somebody pulls a trailer in,
there's enough room.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, that's
in process.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions, any other board members there? All right, then let's move on to... you've got A, B, C. Let's do the fun ones, B and C, first, and then we'll come back to A. We only linked in these. I'll talk about the beehives a little bit. I'm glad to see our bee folks are here. I didn't know that they might be here. So
we asked them yesterday.
Okay. So as you can imagine, us non-bee keepers.
Well, Joe asked him.
I invited him yesterday when I was going up.
Good. There was a little bit of concern, panic, and nobody likes to be stung by a bee. And our concern was that we didn't know how to count hives, and so there were estimates like 150 hives, and people didn't realize how many stacks.
Just three stacks.
All of that. And so... our concerns still, there are two concerns. The member that allowed you to put them on his lot, I think there would be a lot of us who might be interested in the beehive or something, But we do have in our bylaws in that we try to shy away from we're not supposed to have commercial adventures. Now, so that might be an area where you're almost kind of creeping in on a little bit. And the other was we were very concerned about, say, people at the ponds or riding on the roads up around by Joe's house or the comfort. Joe Bose is close, him having family or friends and sitting on his patio and getting swarmed by a bunch of bees. So there was a lot of non-educated guessing and panic going on among us, I have to admit that. But those are still concerns. And so I did call you guys one time and found out your overall plan was to leave them until maybe the middle of May. But I'm going to give you a minute to speak to what you're doing. And then the board, I'm sure there are still these concerns.
Questions.
We'll give you some more questions and to see... Where we're all at, get us all on the same page, or understanding, or knowledge of what you're wanting to do, and how we may or may not be able to live with that, and so they might answer your question here in a minute, Larry. Yeah. So we all have a general knowledge of pollination, and that is good, and it helps with a lot of things. But so take it away, and I'll shut up for a minute. Tell us your names again.
I'm Lonnie Stewart. Ben Roundy is the one that has taught me most everything I know about bees, and he's the one that has these hives. I'm representing him because he's in California right now. But the bees, when they were first moved up there, they didn't have water, and so they were probably looking for water pretty hard. And we put water there for the bees, and so they're not going to go any further than they need to get water. So we have water right there for them. So they'll be there with the water that's nearby them now.
Quick question, they don't go through a lot of water. I mean, it's not like having a herd of cows there.
They just have to, they use the same technique that a swamp cooler works on to moderate the temperature for the brood. And so they have to have a certain amount of water. If it gets hot, that's how they cool their hive. And then they're also, just like other animals, they have to have some water themselves. And so, but they're not going to go any further than they have to get it. So when we have water near the yard, then they're not going to go very far.
And so how do you have water there? You have a big tank?
Yeah, and they're just troughs. Okay. And the other thing is bees are usually very, very peaceful unless you bump their hive, that type of thing. And so to sting anybody, it's very, very rare for a bee to sting anybody. There are Africanized honeybees that are very aggressive. But even still, usually the encounters with those types of bees is someone messing with their home. And that's their defense mechanism for their home. And so, generally, unless you're in the real close vicinity, they shouldn't bother you. If they're in the area, they're just looking for nectar or honey.
So where the road passes by, and I think you can, Joe, can you see the hives from that road?
They're within 10 feet of the road.
They're within about 10 feet of the road.
How many?
There are 64.
64 hives, okay.
There was, 30 until a couple of days ago?
No.
34?
There's always a 64.
Somebody came out. I think it was Lloyd.
Those are extra boxes.
Oh, just extras?
Oh, yeah.
There's 60,000 bees in a hive, maybe?
That's
40,000?
Probably closer to 20,000 to 30,000.
30. I guess great big hives can be 60,000.
Oh, yeah. When they get huge, they can get
So you have 35, how many did you say?
64.
64 hives.
Yeah.
And maybe 30,000, so we might have
12 million, 13.
18, maybe
1,280,000 bees, and that's going up to 20,000.
Okay, so again, our fear goes, woo, 1,200,000 bees.
Yeah.
10 feet.
That's more than all
the
people in Vegas.
There's vibration, you know, and the noise of the four wheelers. What kind of agitation will that be to them?
I can go right into a bee yard and without a veil, unless you open a box. Usually they don't bother you, but. You know, there are certain people that are afraid of bees, and when they panic, then they send off a smell that the bees don't like. And if you run and swat, then, yeah, they're going to chase you if you're in the close vicinity of their home.
So your contention is that basically they're not going to be a problem that close to the road for any of our ranch members?
No. Not unless they went and fiddled with the boxes. If they did that, then that's a...
That is a concern.
And if a 9-year-old kid's riding his ATV and he's curious and he gets out by a dozen of them, what's going to happen?
It depends
on. It's going to be more than a dozen if he goes messing with them.
There's no signage to say beware.
Uh-huh.
What about bears?
Well, my question is, why did you put it right next to the road?
Just looking for a flat spot to stack hives. That's quite steep country and it's hard to.
And why would you put all 60 hives in the same place?
They're just looking for a spot that's big enough to accommodate them.
And you put electrical fencing around it for the
keep that would be a very
out.
Good idea.
Or you haven't done that, or
we haven't done that, but we would like to.
I don't know about
some electric fence.
There's electric
fence. Oh, is there? Is
yes, there is.
Oh, okay. And we've talked about it because of the bears.
Keep the bees in, right?
Joe, I don't think all of them would be happy with 60 hives being right beside the road.
These questions are popping up. We have these very real concerns. Our major concern is this is a place where we want our people to be able to come and enjoy it,
right.
And not have this worry and a liability to us as well for these, you know.
Right.
If everybody was sensible, but unfortunately, boys are boys, and people do dumb things sometimes, and we can't control that. You can't control that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're trying to get a feel for our liability and danger here. So talk on a minute. I'm sorry we interrupted so much, but
would it be so you'd like to see signage with the fence that says, you know, beware, don't tamper.
I personally like to see them spread out.
Yeah.
First of all,
not all in one place.
Sure. And
I think the 10 feet to the road. You know, I don't want to drive my ATV and beyond that and have bees 10 feet from me. I'm thinking, like, if we were going to allow that many bees, and I think we're into the commercial thing, which if we allow that commercial, what's going to edge in next? But also, back if we did have a lot that was way back in there, that it was in the center of their lot, the property owner or whatever, so there's no roads going by it. Yeah. I would also worry about the bees, the bears, if I own that lot, or if I was close to that, I'd be freaking out because I know I'm going to have to watch for bears now. And I know, like, we have a beehive in our office building down in Arizona, up in the top corner. And although those bees haven't bothered anybody in, like, 5 years, it's been growing inside the building, they have swarmed my doors of the business. Mm-hmm. On multiple occasions, like once a year, and I'm talking hundreds and thousands of bees, because I don't know, maybe another bee swarm comes through and then they get territorial. I'm not sure why they swarmed, yep. But I knew they swarmed. So, Joe, being up in your place, have you seen the bees over your place?
My cabin is within 300 yards of your bees. I've killed more bees in my cabin in 2 hours this morning than I have in the last 5 years. I can't open the doors. So I can't go out. They try to come in. They're hanging on the screens waiting for me to open the door because they smell water in the kitchen sink. I can't even go on my front porch.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I think,
and I've already been stung.
One second. I think we're all pretty aware that it's a good thing. The bees are a good thing. Larry probably would have something to say about it.
Well, we let Larry say that way. It's a lot of time.
But my point with that is I would have no problem if they were spread out.
Yeah, and we're willing to work with whatever we need to. We're naturally we had an opportunity to put them there, and we don't know a lot of people around here, so
I would never have. I would never be okay on the board. Speaking for myself on the board, I'd never be okay with them being 10 feet off the road,
mm-hmm.
because we do have kids that are even younger than 10 years old on a four-wheeler.
I need to say about, like, having them there. I spoke with Scott Schumacher yesterday afternoon.
Scott Schumacher is the owner of the lot.
He's the owner of the lot. And he said that he was told that somebody asked him, I guess it was Lloyd, asked if he could put a couple of hives on his lot. So he thought that there was going to be 2 hives on his lot. He had no idea that it was going to be what it is, and he said he wants them off. And he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't live here. You know, he can't just, you know, come over and deal with it.
There might have been a misunderstanding there, but that...
Yeah.
It's a good thing happening. Larry, it is no question.
I think I can clear a lot of this nonsense up. I've raised bees. I had a bee hive on Brigham Young University campus when I was head gardener. I never had any problems. However, I don't understand in our area why we want so many bees in one spot, because they're going to have to go quite a ways to get their pollen and their other stuff.
That's a good
in my lot, I could put where I'm at. You could put bees on the upper end. It's monument on the one side. I'm about as far away from traffic or anything else.
I've got a video with the bees.
And
somewhere.
They're not going to do too awful much for my gardens up there because most of the stuff is self-pollinating, but it'd be a good place to put maybe 10 hives or something. But I don't understand why you want to put that many hives together, and I sure wouldn't want to put them very close to traffic.
The reasoning for putting the beehives there and why so many is because... The manzanita is blooming right now, and it's very, very good for the bees.
Right.
And once the manzanita is done, there's really not a lot in this area for bees.
So as I understand it, your intention was to maybe by the middle of May, so maybe 4 more weeks of a short, you'd be taking them out of here.
Yeah, because there's not any food for them at that point. That particular area is very, very loaded with manzanita.
Or the other thing is, if this ever happened again, if we could just speak with some lot owners, we could spread them out and be happier with the
program a little
further. It's just, I heard about the manzanita, and I know where it is because I've been up here, and that they talked with me and was wondering about it, and I said, I know where it is.
Well, we hadn't spent a lot of time in this country. It's beautiful, but we haven't been here before.
So is this a business?
We're hobby beekeepers. We'd like it to be a business, but we don't have that many bees yet. They've just changed the laws in Utah and made it so that there... It used to be that you weren't a business beekeeper until you had 400 hives. And so a hobby beekeeper could have up to 100 hives. And we'd like to be a business. That's what we're trying to grow. But at this point, it's been a hobby.
But I understand your business license is outdated.
The equipment that he's running those bees in, he bought that equipment from an old beekeeper who's actually passed away. And so, yeah, the license information on that, he's working on getting licensed because we're hobby beekeepers. And we'd like to become commercial beekeepers, but we haven't been there yet.
But we still have a situation where there is a problem from now until middle of May. It's a nice time for people to come up. Sure. And they are a nuisance at this point. And I think the board is basically saying the numbers in one area, the proximity to the road, there does need to be a change.
Oh, well, we're more than
willing to do that. And if Scott Schumacher is saying that there needs to be something done to remove the numbers.
And, yeah. Well, Lloyd said, I told him there would be 64 hives on there. So
yeah,
you guys know Scott. Better than I do.
So maybe Scott's trying to wiggle out of what happened. Yeah, we don't know that. We don't know that. But so we need to deal with right now where we're at and what we have and a plan. And so I know if I were Jose's and had those bees all over my screen, I'd be upset.
But personally, I wouldn't mind having a hive on my property, you know, a hive or two. But have 60 hives right by the roads, and we're going up there tomorrow on four-wheelers. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I know you go flying through there and kick up dirt, those things are going to be ugly.
If you stopped, then, you know, if you teased them at all, then it would be ugly.
So you've heard what our concerns are,
yes.
And they're pretty valid.
Absolutely.
So give us your offer of what you would do to ameliorate the situation, to make it better or not, and then we'll see if we can live with that. Can you do that off the top of your head?
You bet. Well, I propose that we look for a better location that's not right by the road. And if other owners are willing, then spread them out like that and get them in more of a remote location in that area. And then, of course, mid-May, they're going to be gone anyway. So if that helps, and if we need to do something.
Well, the bees, from what I understand, travel quite a distance.
They will, yes.
So you're not going to be put out if they're spread out at all.
Well, the problem with spreading them out is in
you taking care of
in working the bees,
yeah.
You have a limited window of opportunity to get inside of a beehive. It needs to be 60 degrees or above.
Yeah.
And so you don't open beehives when it's cold or you hurt the brood. And so, you know, when you travel out here to take care of the bees, you need to be able to take care of those bees in that time frame. And if they're spread all over, then it... You know, you're gearing up.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about, you know, breaking them up, maybe divide them into four sections and get them away from the road. And we wouldn't even know they were there if they were
right. No, they wouldn't. And they travel in every direction.
But
you know, they're going to cover a lot of country.
Joe's in a real bad spot because his is just, what, 300?
He's got
manzanita. There's more manzanita on my lot than there is on his, and that they're favoring my place. I can't even step out of the cabin, and it's not even warm yet.
Yeah.
When it gets to be 70 degrees,
which next week
I have no idea what's going to happen.
They're going to go wherever there's food, and I mean,
there's more food in my lot. This was close to they're within 10 feet of my cabin.
That they are right now.
That's where they're at right now.
Oh,
wow.
Okay, Phil. My cabin's less than 250 yards from your hive, just on top of the hill and straight across. And 10 acres in front of me is manzanita, and they're all in bloom.
Yeah.
They got to go
take care of that manzanita problem for you.
They got to go past. They got to go past my cabin to get to the manzanita,
mm-hmm.
And they smell the water in the kitchen.
Yeah,
and they try to get in my cabin. I've killed more in the last 2 hours.
When did you put the water in?
What? When did you put the water in?
That was like the week after they were there, right?
No, it's 3 days after we moved in. After
that, after I gave them a
as soon as we knew that.
All right, we'll give you five more minutes to tell us everything you might do. I think you've said it in a little bit, and then we'll excuse you and have a kind of a closed session with our members, and then we'll invite you back in. Okay.
Okay.
And we have, go ahead.
So basically, one of the questions I have is if it would be acceptable. Because a beehive can move 3 feet or 3 miles. If you move that beehive 5 feet, their GPS in their head or whatever it is that tells them their hive was right here at one time, they'll just ball up where their hive was, and they'll just die because they don't know where home is, even if it's only 5 feet.
So you need to move them.
So we'd have to move them out 3 miles for 3 days, and then we'd have to move them back to a new location in the near vicinity.
So
does that make sense?
I guess
to reset that.
Wondering is if it would be acceptable to build. I mean, I am a fence builder, and I could do a solid chain link or even porch net fence that's right against the road with, you know, signs and postage, so people don't.
The only problem with that is we have members that right there,
Mike,
and you'd have to.
No,
we still have this.
A fence isn't going to help the bees going in my cabin.
Yeah, that's true.
Or on the road, yeah.
And last.
And I got two granddaughters that are 6 years old that are coming up in about 2 weeks.
And a grandson.
They're being tested very before they come up to see if they're allergic.
And a grandson.
And my grandson. But last year in October, we saw 3 bears crossing our lot. So, and then Fred Sterling has bears in his area. So there are bears.
Yeah, and that's another concern with spreading them out. Is we would probably want to split them maybe like in two separate yards. You know, getting a whole bunch of different yards makes it so we have to fence several different little areas. You know, it just quadruples the work, right? But if we did have them in more remote, to the back of lots, 2 yards, you'd never know they were there. Other
but
than
you're gonna have
him where he's within a few hundred yards of them.
So what you're saying, if you took half of them, you can't just move them into the middle of that lot now?
No.
It's
not that
3 miles away.
We'd love
5 miles away for the next 3 days or something.
Yeah, you have to move them away until they reset to the new location. Uh-huh. And it needs to be their forage range is up to 3 miles from their hive. And so you usually like to go about 3 miles away. Mm-hmm. And let them reset to that location, give them a few days, and then you can move them back and they'll reset to the location even if it was real close to where they were before. They'll still know where home is. You have to move bees in the dark. You don't move them in the day. If you move them in the day, then half the forages are out working and they'll come home to no home. So you have to wait for them all to be home before you can move them. And so, yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's fine. We'd be glad to do it. If it makes it work.
No, we're going to have to do that. I personally, I'm not speaking for the rest of the board, but that right next to the road is not good.
Right, and that's fine. We'd love to address that and make it so that it's more comfortable
for
everyone.
Do we have an association-owned lot in the middle of nowhere? Like, surrounded by
we have, or? Yes, 74 and, you know, on the road going up to my
That's perfect.
That would be... a good
little roommate.
Well, if Larry Bear wants some on his place, he's more than 3 miles from me.
Uh-huh. So, and the other question is obviously there are certain areas of there that within 3 miles of there isn't hardly any manzanita either, and then there wouldn't be any point in
reading. Lot one would be perfect.
Is there
put them all out there. Except Jonesy wouldn't like me, would he?
That doesn't have
answers,
does it?
Yeah, no, one they get right back over where Joe is from there.
Okay, so that we can speak real frank among us. Any more questions you want to ask them? I'll excuse them for a minute. We'll come up with what we've decided. We'll let you know, and then if there's any more ability to work things out or whatever.
Yeah.
We are all in favor of bees being alive.
I'm very much in favor of having them here.
If there's some way we can work this out, I think the feeling would be good. But we have these are pretty real concerns for us.
Sure.
And Joe's, heck, we feel for Joe and his problem right now.
Brett brings his dog by there in the back of the truck, and his dogs have been stung so bad he has to put him in a cab of the truck just to drive by the bees. They're so close to the road.
That's because they snap at them.
Oh, yeah, they snap at them and aggravate them.
You think that was in the first part. So anything else you want to say?
One more thing before we go. These are Italian bees. They're one of the more mild strains of bees, and so they're a lot different than your Africanized strains of bees. They're... Like, I could show you, if you wanted to go up there, I would walk.
No, I've got video of them landing on me. No, yeah. They're not
aggressive bees.
But the thing is, once they get into your clothes, there's that many of them.
Oh yeah, if they're inside your clothes, you know they're an animal.
Well, that's exactly what's happening up there. Sure. So we got to figure something out.
What was the date that you actually brought them up?
I don't remember the date.
It's been about 2 weeks.
I've been out a week. It's been about 8-10 days. 10 days.
It's been longer.
No, because I came out. The day I came out there, I saw them.
Well, they were here.
They were here a week before that, though.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
The day you called me. The day you called me, I was already here.
Well,
see, I received the call from Brent and from Fred 2 days before that.
Okay, all right. Well, so they all right, I thought that was the first day.
They informed me a couple of days before that. Because I wasn't up here until 2 days ago.
Wait, quick, before you guys leave. The manzanita is the number one thing they need to have to feed, or is there other things that they're going to be able to feed on up here?
Well, there are a lot
later
of
on,
but we're talking a high enough concentrations to, you know, to be worth the effort and the fuel to come here. You know, I mean, it's obviously out here a ways. And,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it'd be fun to just play with the bees, but it has to make some sort of sense.
Sure.
You know.
So. Okay. Yeah.
This is a hard one because I want them here.
It comes down to the perfect location. We gotta find the perfect location.
We did bring some sample box here of some of the different things that we get from bees and pollen and beeswax and.
Is this manzanita?
Honey, no. We'd like to try some manzanita, honey. That's why we want them here, but we don't have any yet. There's some pollen. And they're different colors and honey and wax.
Okay.
And there's propolis and other things too, but. That's what we've gotten so far.
Right. That'd be cool to have some honey in the store for sale.
It would be cool to have Deer Springs honey, but aside from the emotional and fun things, we need to, you know.
They need to get out of there.
Joe and,
Well, I have two things if I could add.
Okay.
First thing, you know, it's not a commercial operation right now, but they'd like it to be. So they're kind of building a business, which will be commercial.
But not necessarily here.
Right. Well, and, you know, Nancy was arguing this too. You know, yeah, they're just collecting pollen. It's not the business here. The business is somewhere. But, and then two, you know, talking with Scott, you know, he doesn't want them there. He made a mistake. He said, hey, you know, I asked for a couple hives and now there's this many. You know, he didn't want it to be that.
Yeah. That's according to, but that's like he said, she said, because
Lloyd says that.
So, you know, do they need to get off that lot? I believe so.
I do too.
Fred Cyril told me that he's got granddaughters that come up, and one of them has to carry an EpiPen when she comes in the woods because she's allergic to bee stings, and without the EpiPen, she's in a heap of trouble, so she can't even come up now.
So,
Larry?
Well, you know, I don't understand allowing that many hives of bees together, and especially that close to the road. We've got some native bees up here.
Yeah, we have this problem out of ignorance and misunderstanding, I think.
Two hives of bees and
they didn't
100 hives of bees is a big difference. And
I'm sure these guys have no idea of what we have up here and all our members and everything and the stuff we got.
I like your idea of on the lots that we're not using.
I don't know if they're close enough, and you know, Joe's right in the middle of manzanita. So they're going to go until they find manzanita, then they're still going to find Joe.
And they have a 3 mile.
Yeah, but if they're that far away, they're not going to be a problem.
That's a lot of
bees. How far away is?
Well, I've read a few articles. And the beekeeper of the state. I talked to him personally, Dave Bassinger. He told me they'll go 2 miles for water to keep the hive where it's at. So they'll go at least that far.
They go to the ponds.
They've been to the ponds.
Which are the ponds. They're within 2 miles.
I think 174 would be probably a couple miles away.
Yeah.
But there's
plenty out there. I mean, they can move. They can go up to 10 miles.
But the concentration of manzanita is probably where they're going
to
memorize or go towards.
For sure, that would reduce your problem.
The other thing you consider, too, is Lloyd Jessup is up here a lot. He knows there's an association. He knew what he was doing when he brought him in, that he should have asked. I mean, let's face it, he's not.
Yes.
Well, another question is, And this is my view on it. You know, when he came up here to get posts for trees, whether it was legal or not, whether it was raining, snowing, whatever.
He's ruined our road.
He trashed roads.
Who did?
Lloyd ruined our road. Remember, we had it on the agenda to get money out of them.
If there's a day that they're coming up to get hives, whether it rained or snowed, they're driving up there to get their hives.
Right.
And so that's just another one of my
concerns. Paul graded the lower slide. The next day it rained and they went in and ruined it. He wasted a day out there.
That's just still one of my concerns. I kind of have, I'm a little bitter about the whole issue, just some other things. So I'm kind of, I just stay out of it, let the board decide.
Okay, let's all do what we're doing right now. Keep voicing our opinions, and then then we've got to entertain a motion and discuss the motion and vote on it. And basically it's going to be either we try to find some compromise, such as perhaps we endure this for 2 more weeks and they have to be gone, or not at all, or we just ask them to leave right away, or we suggest some more remote lots.
Where is lot 74?
As you go up the Crawford Road towards my place, and you know where you come down through a little pasture kind of like, and there's the other road that goes up to the start of those trails, that there's two lots there, 74 and 5 together. Mm-hmm. They're right there. They could be put right in the back of those trees of that lot, so they would be like 100 feet or more away from any road.
Yeah. You would probably wouldn't see very much of them.
And
there's a cattle guard right there, and there used to be a picnic table.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know where that is.
So maybe having them out on lot one. I don't know. You know, or
well, there's also some water up there naturally.
I wouldn't. You know, would be a good place for them over by that ditch over there. You know, crossing the coal mine. Who has those lots out there? Beyond you.
I
don't know.
Well, can you bring us a big map real quick?
Lot 19.
Liability is
the far corner?
No, the fruit trees passed away.
Who owns it now?
Don, and I can't remember.
I don't know the answer to that.
That'd be a good place for them out there.
Yeah.
No. If they're going to the Manzanita, they'd be going up towards up towards Joe's.
They got Joe's place on their GPS already.
So. Yeah, they're gonna take one of your sheds and use it as a hive.
Ben still owns 75.
Who?
Ben.
No, we didn't.
No, the ranch just they're too
common. Oh, 74 and 75.
Yeah.
Oh.
We own us.
Okay. I was thinking he did, or maybe he owns something next to it.
That might be a solution, and how much in more involvement or trouble would still make for Joe? I don't know. We could do as a thing and say, okay, move them up there. If after 2 weeks there's still a problem,
you got to get them out.
Joe, then they've got to go. Okay, why don't you point out where the lot 74 and 5 is?
74 and 75.
They're just right there where you can take that other road.
The ponds are right there. Crawford turns right.
Okay, now point Joe's lot. So we own, yeah. There's
Joe's lot. Okay.
It's a good area.
It's a long way away.
Well,
it's far enough away, Joe, that you it's not going to bother you.
And there's pasture.
Do the people on lot 74 want it on their lot?
No, it's our association
lot.
Association lot.
But the question to go on that one is, you're close to that lot. It's going to increase
I'm a canyon over. I don't think.
There's no man. He's in a different.
There's association ground right here. We could put it right here. But you have people in the cabins.
I think that's too close.
Where's
our other lot one then? It's way.
Lot one.
Over there, but that's close to all the Podunk people.
That's why I said that having. You having 30 or 40 hives in one spot's no good. If there was two or three out there.
Scatter them, but.
I don't think they can manage them scattered less than maybe we could suggest 3 locations, 20 some odd in each location.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want any more than 25.
No, it's just this for the next couple. I mean, because
this would be an experiment, and if after 2 weeks Joe is really still having trouble, then we tell him right up front, if there's still trouble, then it's not going to work for us.
This is a good thing for the ranch, having those bees there.
But,
well, she brought up
but that being said, we don't want anybody dying.
There's a guy right in Johnson Canyon that would love to come up and do, you know, a couple hives here and there. I think they're fudging you a little bit.
Well,
I think they are.
They want to grow more hives.
Exactly.
They want their hives to increase from 20,000 to 50 or 60, and then to buy
them. This is an association, and we have to protect our membership.
So let's give them 2 weeks, Scott, Bill. If we don't hear from anybody.
I think the point that Art's kind of making, the ecological point is, and then maybe we should discuss it, what are they doing for our ranch?
You know, I called the state beekeeper, Dave Bassinger. He told me 20 hives or less is considered a hobby. There is nothing registered in the paperwork for the state that qualifies anything else. But they said their national assumption is anything over 40 hives is a commercial business. But it doesn't state that in black and white on paper.
Yeah.
Period. So you can have 40 or 140. It still doesn't say they're commercial. But the state treats it as a commercial venture if it's over 20 hives.
I think Tammy had a real good statement. Renee had a real good statement. I just heard it back here. And I don't think everybody heard that. Did you
hear that? Well, there's two things that I thought of. What is the liability to the ranch if some kid gets bit and dies of anaphylactic shock, and we allowed it on the property?
Yeah, that's
we could say the same thing about it. I've got stuff that I wanted to talk about. It's a heck of a lot worse than that.
I understand. The other question is, if they have a bunch of bees that take over here, will they get rid of all of our natural bees that we would have here ourselves?
There are natural bees.
Right here, this tree in front of the store, every spring, it's not buzzing right now, but it is swarming with bees, and nobody has ever been stung by a bee out of that tree. I mean, it swarms all the time. There's tons of bees in there. Like, you walk under it, you're all in here.
I agree with you.
Okay, so then there's the human nature side of it, to a degree. I mean, we feel more allegiance to Joe than we do them. But the thing I said about, we can give you 2 weeks, and then we're going to be gone or something.
Well, yeah, we just tell him to go.
My question on that, though, is we have a lot on her telling us, you know what, he made a mistake. There was only supposed to be a couple hives. He can't be here.
Yeah, but if we allow him to go down to 74 or 75, we're going to move him right out of there.
Like tonight.
He can't be here.
Right. Pun intended.
Like, thinking that we have to move them immediately or as soon as possible.
Today.
And then put them on 74 and give them 2 weeks from that point and see how
if they're still a nuisance
at that point.
Yeah. To the ranch.
To the ranch.
But Joe's right in the middle of Manzanita. I don't know if anybody else is in the middle of more Manzanita.
Ron is.
Yeah, I got a lot. Where's your lot? It's way clear on the west side, but they'll go that far.
They'll go 10 miles.
What lot number are you?
And there's water up there, so.
What lot number are you?
216.
214.
14.
Well, it shows 214 on that thing. Yes.
It's blooming like crazy right now.
It's quite a ways away, but...
Yeah, no, they'll go.
Where is 216 from 74 to 75?
74 Shelmer.
Well, that's what we want them to do, is to spread out.
Right.
Right, to not have a swarm of them at this place. If they come and they're in the tree in the Manzanita, that's one thing. It's a different thing when you've got the whole hive in your yard. Right?
Okay, so if we were to say 2 week trial, would we want to put them all up there, or where would we put them if we divided them?
74, 75.
All of them on 74?
Yeah.
Now, when you say all on 74, that could be three different places on 74.
Yeah. As long as they're...
Not all 64 in one spot.
74 goes from the Forest Service down. And there's that little teeny reservoir and the pasture.
They have water there,
and
too.
And on the other side, it starts 75. Well, aren't they contiguous, those two lots?
Yeah, that would keep them from looking for your sink.
74, 75 right there.
Yeah.
There's definitely water there.
So you'd want to put them all on the north end because we don't want to buy the road either. You know?
If he doesn't want to go over there, then he can leave.
Yeah. Larry?
Another thing, I don't think the bees are doing anything for the ranch above the natural bees that we have here. There's nobody depending on it. I've got a dozen
for pollinization.
Bees, yeah. But there's enough bees to take care of basically that stuff.
Flowers.
We were growing hay.
We don't care if the manzanita gets pollinized or not.
No.
There's sufficient of that, and what bees we do have. So it's not going to benefit the ranch to a great extent. Other than we get a percentage of the honey that they get. If it's something like that, if they sell in the store, that would benefit the ranch. But normally, we've always had bees. As long as I've had gardens and stuff up here, there's always been bees in the summertime.
Maybe there's a possibility that we could work something out with them, you know, with some honey to sell in the store.
Like I say, I can put 10 or 15 hives on the back of mine, which wouldn't bother anybody, but I think I'm far enough away from most of Manzanita, they wouldn't want to do it, because I'm down in the lower part here.
Yeah, would they really want to even do 74?
I can
understand. Well, if they don't. We could run up with them, and
I've thought about bringing bees in, but there's that liability thing. If I have some hives up here, and somebody gets stung and dies, and, well, we do have hives here, you know, and it is a thing. But you know,
the bees are here.
70 hives or 60?
Okay,
hives?
So 64. Right 64 now, we've kind of narrowed it down to: do we want to help them, or do we want to just send them, ship them out right now?
Send them packing.
Yeah, so we need to.
Yeah, one comment.
We need to decide that.
Did you try to decide that? If somebody, I don't know who was it, made the point, but he obviously knows the association has been working here, and they just kind of ran over everything without coughing people to make that happen too. So, or is your loyalty to help them or not? I think no matter what you decide, there should be some schooling, respect involved with them on what happens with bees, what happens in the future, or everything else.
And a limit on the cap of how many bees. So we give them, you know, 74 and 75, and say put those. We don't want to go up there and find twice as many up there later too, because at that point
we're only going to give them 2 weeks.
If the ranch wants hives and wants bees and honey. You know, I have a guy right down the canyon who comes up through to Cannonville all the time, and you know, we could package our own. You know, that could be another.
Let's
manager.
Look at the practicality too of the fact that if we tell them to leave, we need probably give them a week or two to be organized and to gather up and do it at night and find a new spot and all that from pure otherwise. All those bees are the bees are dead. We're worried about the bees more than we are those guys.
I think today we could tell them to move them down to 74, 75, give them 2 weeks. It'd be better right. For Joe right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
okay, Joe. How do you feel about it, Joe?
I think they've taken advantage of the ranch. Jessup knows the rules and regulations here. He didn't care and just moved them in. So I have no qualms about saying I'll move them to someplace else or move them off completely. I mean, I can't even use my cabin right now. I can't even go outside. The minute it gets warm, I'm in trouble. And I got granddaughters coming up, and I can't afford that.
Are you willing to have them move to 74 and see?
Just to see if it goes. Two weeks from that time, Joe, we can just say.
I'm in favor of moving them to 74. If it doesn't bother somebody else's area, I don't want to
We have 2 weeks.
That's not my intent.
We've got 2 weeks to get rid of them.
We're looking at mid-May. They were talking about having them all out of there anyways.
And there won't be any food for them anyway.
We might. If there's still a lot of trouble, we're going to have to say, you're going to find adios. A place within a few days.
I don't know if you guys have been down by the ponds, but the first few days they were swarming really good down there.
Well, their first few days are probably not indicative of their natural thing, you know. Okay.
I make a motion we give them 2 weeks on 74, 75. If it's still a problem at the end of 2 weeks, they need to get them out. They need to have a place to put them.
Okay, so there's been a motion made. Is there any other discussion on the motion?
How many days if you give them the option to get them out?
And then we'd give them, within a week's time, they have to get them out.
And then what about next year?
We can deal with that.
If it's a problem on 74, we don't want them back at all. I think.
Yeah.
No. But I like the idea of having, you know, your friend down there.
And
have
I think
a couple of them
there.
Yeah,
specify where he's
yeah, I'd like one over my place.
That one.
Yeah, I would say end? I'd say they need to go to the top of that little road and where that. I don't know if you guys know it. There were kind
I
of
know,
a
well.
Thing and the little fence. And there was a little table in there back in that area. That's the top of that lot.
Now, do we need a motion for this? This is part of a nuisance. Part of our bylaws are being broken, so I think the decision could just be made.
Yeah, we don't even need a vote on it.
We don't even need a vote on it. It's up to you. You're the president.
But we can, just to make it.
No, I would appreciate consensus, so it's not just me saying something.
Well, I'll second the motion.
So the motion with his, can we add in
second.
How many feet where you're talking about the specific
okay,
location?
Okay, we'll be specific about that location. It has to be at the top of the lot. What is the top one? 74.
74.
74.
Yeah, sir. 74.
Now, do we know if anybody camps out in tents on those lots?
They don't.
Well, again, two weeks we can just...
Because I don't want to give somebody else my problem.
It's pretty cool.
I made the motion.
And
I want signage put up, too, in that area.
But the other thing was, did you also want in your emotion to say that they should be divided up into groups of no more than
split
them in half?
Yeah, just
well, if you get in down to 75, you're more like Ben and other people's lots down there.
Well, I guess we'll just try it for 2 weeks. If it's bad, easiest way out for us.
Yes.
We're giving them a chance.
Did you say emotion?
Yeah. Okay, so the motion, let's clarify the motion first, and then we'll see if there's any more discussion.
Okay, in the middle of May, is that what he said?
Mm-hmm. They'll stay.
Well,
I mean,
your motion was just to give them 2 weeks notice, and we'll get a report. We want a report from Joe and Fred Searle and people driving by there, and, you know, Paul, you could run up there.
But I would say they have to be out by May
15th.
And then
that's what I wanted. Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
If there's still a problem, do we give them? You just tell them one more week, or do we tell them May 15th? That gives them the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm coming back before.
I say at the end of the 2 weeks, you got to move them.
If there's a problem.
There's a problem. Then do they have a week to move them? I think we can't say you got to move them that night.
Right.
We got to decide if it's a problem or not.
Yeah,
we have to have a little notice.
Because it's if.
They get
it's not going to bother anybody. If it's still a nuisance, another day or two isn't going
to... Compared to what Fred and Brent called me, they were all installed in less than 3 days.
Okay, so it's just 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days.
Okay.
If they can install them in 3 days.
We'll allow them to move them. We want them to move them immediately. We want them to move them to Lot 74. We will sample the area of our members that are near Manzanita. If there's a problem, then we'll give them 3 days' notice. They'll have to be gone.
At the end of 2 weeks.
Now, who will be the contact person for them?
I would say inform the owner of this decision, too, so he's made responsible.
I haven't. I did call him immediately.
Okay.
He started backpedaling.
I like that compromise, though. I think we'll be okay.
Okay. So,
and then to the actual spot, and I'll not let them choose.
May 15th, they're out of here.
At the most, anyway.
Well, from where they're at now, or from Lot 74?
74.
74. Yeah. So they're gone totally after May 15th.
We want them to move in within 3 days. That's immediately to us, to Lot 74.
I would say right away. They got them out here in 3 days, but most of that was driving.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, practically speaking, they're probably not going to drive until it comes Sunday. Just to be practical about it. Give Wednesday.
So
I don't want.
They should have them up there by Wednesday.
Question: if they don't like the
whole thing, they're gone.
Yeah.
They have to have time to move them out for X amount. They have to be gone from where they are now.
By next Wednesday.
For 3 days.
It's 74 to 75 more than 2 miles away from where they are now.
Oh, they have to be out of there.
Why don't we say right away?
It is.
Maximum 3 days.
74 and 75 more than 3 miles from here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, then you just don't have to move them.
Then they can just move them.
They'd be fine.
They might just have to do
it. See, my lot's right here, and the three ponds are right here. That's 2 miles.
by the road, so it's probably a mile and a half.
So it's almost 5 or 6.
Each one of those big blocks is a mile.
It's probably close to 2.25 miles from me.
It's not no, three.
It's probably 2.25 to 3 miles.
Each line is a mile.
Each line's a mile?
Yeah, each big block.
These from here to here?
Yes.
Right, each block is a mile. So, like, from this line to this line is 1 mile.
And that's let's move on.
Okay, so all those in favor of the motion?
Because I'm right here. Right. 1 mile right to here. Right.
Yes,
right
here. Joe or said Joe.
Or there, so it's less than a mile.
Right.
Let's see, who seconded it? Bob. Bob seconded. All in favor of that motion? There's four. Bob or Joe?
Joe.
Any opposed? I didn't hear the last motion.
It's just to move them to say they got 2 weeks yet.
Okay. Can somebody bring in what's on?
I thought I could further than that.
This reminds me of the old board meetings.
Yeah. Well, you know, this thing with Ole is even worse. Real quick, not to change the subject, but did you look up on the minutes to find out if that was a vote with Larry?
See, when you've got it there, the history is...
Well, I don't know. Mine has just started.
So it was done correctly?
So mine had just started...
We can't have a horse.
I don't know. I've seen it bloom pretty long.
Okay, if I can have your attention, we'll... here's what... Why don't you guys come a little closer so you can see my face?
It's a couple more.
Okay, this is what we decided. First of all, technically, letter lock, so to speak, technically...
Listen up.
Hold on.
You are in violation of our bylaws, and Mr. Schumacher didn't understand, but that's all water under the bridge. You're there now, and so here's the solution we propose. And if it doesn't meet with your satisfaction, then we have to have you move them immediately. So we have some... commonly owned lots. Lot 74 is one of them. And why don't you give him a guided tour on how to get there?
I think Paul's going to take him up there.
And where are they right now on this map?
Right here.
Oh, okay.
As the crow flies, it'll be about a mile and a half, 2 miles from lot 107. By road, probably 3.5.
Okay. You can judge how far from this map or whatnot.
Right there.
Okay. Because they're on 108?
No, I'm 108 right
they
now.
They are.
Okay. And so 74 is...
Okay, 74. We'll have our manager go up with you sometime. But we'll get him a small map or something. Anyway, there's a road to the Forest Service that goes just right outside our ranch right there, and there's a grove of quakeys and stuff, and there's water, there's a little pond, and it's about 100 to 200 feet away from our roads. And there's a few cabins or lots up this way, but you have wide open spaces, and there's more Manzanita around.
There's quite a few out there.
And up to Crawford Canyon in their little valley, I know there's Manzanita too. They'll find the Manzanita.
Sure.
But maybe they'll be diluted enough. So we're willing to go with you for a 2-week kind of trial basis. You move them. If it's still a real problem to us, we'll have to ask you to leave entirely. If not, if it's... we're feeling okay, you can stay until the middle of May and then go. So that's as good as we can afford you based on our liability, our members' feelings, and the nuisance. We have a thing in our bylaws about a nuisance situation, which you would fall under. And it's unfortunate there's been miscommunication, and we feel there's a little bit of... problem on your parts, understanding, you know, that there's association and there's rules. Next time, we want to warn you that before you ever try to do anything up here again, you need to talk to us.
Sure.
Okay?
Not an individual lot owner, but...
I got one more question.
Right.
I got one more question. Right. Right.
Yes,
I
told as well.
And Lloyd, our Schumacher.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Joe's going to be here how many days?
Till Tuesday.
Till Tuesday, how soon could you move him? Because he's miserable up there right now.
Right. Well, it may be that we can move him tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what I wanted to hear.
We just got to get a machine lined up. Naturally, the machine that we used to move him up is already up in Logan. We'll just have to find a machine and
see if we can get them done tonight.
Now who's going to go up with them to 74, 75?
I'll go up and stake it out.
All right. Okay. He's your man.
Okay.
If you're in agreement with it.
Is that okay? Yeah.
We're willing to bend, but...
How far is this from there to there?
We're not...
Close to 3 miles.
We can go...
We're not actually... It's
close to 3 miles.
My road is 3 miles, but the crow is probably only 2.
Oh, I see.
These are miles.
You can go scope it out.
You could go further in... Well, I don't know.
But there's a lot of...
Can we give them a... Not a map on this board, but a...
Small
one. Okay. Paul, why don't you go with them and give them that map?
Is he going to be tied up here for a while yet?
You know where we're talking about, Renee?
No, I don't know. I got a pretty good idea if I just had a map that could go to.
Okay.
I mean, I know the place.
All right. And then we can go up and mark it a little more definitely.
Does Paul still need to be here if I inform him of what goes on?
Pardon? What?
Does Paul still need to be here?
The only thing I was going to have for him is, I asked you a while back, the last meeting, if you'd get 3 bids for the stairs on 3. Have you had a chance to do that?
No, we're not going
to
send Paul right now. They can find it. Okay. But Paul can go up there afterwards for you.
Okay. Stake it out.
I'll describe one more time to you, though, that you will find, you go up to Crawford Road, kind of towards where my place is, but partway through there, if you follow the map, you'll see a road that goes off into the Forest Service, and it's a trailhead. There's an old cabin up in there. So that road, you'll see there's some fencing along that road. And where the fencing turns is in a grove of kind of quakey area. And there used to be a little table there. That's the area where we want. You can put them all there. We're not going to have you break them up.
Oh, okay.
You can put them all there.
All right. And you can show us where that is?
After the meeting.
We can drive up there and look around and then up.
So you probably, it's easy to find. You come off the hill, there's...
We'll just give them a little map.
Give them a small
one. Set lot 74.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
And the upper end of the lot.
The upper end, right? Right where that little fence is, where the table used to be, right in the middle. Yeah. It's flat for them. They should be able to manipulate the pipes there. Thank you, everybody. That was a little more fun. Let's now.
We wanted everybody to have a little honey.
Oh, yeah.
So, what kind of honey is this now?
There's a little map there. I don't know if you can see it.
You know, it takes flowers to make that much honey, so there's probably lots of different flowers.
Well, that's a very nice gesture.
Is this manzanita honey?
No, we don't have any yet.
Manzanita honey is my enemy.
So if we can find a peaceful coexistence, there's that possibility.
Thank you.
If perhaps we do it as a joint venture to a degree.
Thank you.
We would love nothing more than to have a brand of Pure Springs Ranch honey in our store. So thank you very much. That's very generous.
That was generous.
And we know it's not easy.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to to Brad, the Brad Hunt horse. I talked to your father, Brad, just this last week, and he said you were still massaging and thinking, and I was coming here prepared not knowing I'd see you, just to say, well, they're still trying to figure out their manning, how they want to do it, and what they want to recommend to us. So it's great that you're here. Why don't you come or from there, whatever you'd like, and let us know what you have in mind. Okay, let's give our attention to Brad now.
A couple my wife has beautiful words. And
I don't know if you guys got this or not.
No, I couldn't print
it. I'm pretty sure all of you are well aware of the unimaginable tragedy that we suffered. And our world has been pretty gray for months. Getting a little bit of sunshine in, starting to see some colors now. It's been 5 months and 2 days. But prior to that, this is the letter that was drafted and sent twice to the ranch. And so I'd like just to have Tammy read that to you. It's her words. And we put this together as a proposal. We don't want to have any come to any conclusion today, but we'd like to put it before the board and get your ideas and see where you're at. Because, frankly, we're still struggling for footing and see the direction that we want our lives to take. But this was our plan. We feel like it was a good plan, and we've just kind of been continually working toward that plan, even though there's a huge hole.
Okay, so as I read this, these are just suggestions. They were just ideas that we had thought about. Greetings, board members. We would like to submit some ideas / proposals to the board regarding ways the ranch could generate some revenue. Brad and I love Deer Springs Ranch and have been coming here for years with our family reunions and helping our father with the cows. It has always been a dream of ours to become ranch members. Last year, we finally realized that dream. Brad and I will be retiring this summer and plan on moving to and building a ranch house on our property. Yay. Because of this much anticipated move and because we want to share what we have come to love, we would like to become Deer Springs' official ranch outfitter and wranglers. This could include catering Dutch oven dinners for reunions, family gatherings, and individual families and general membership dinners. 2, obtaining and scheduling entertainment, campfire music, etc. 3, make horseback riding for the membership available again at the ranch. 4, provide mini cattle drives, guided horseback riding, lessons when necessary. 5, provide pony wagon rides or lead rides for small children. 6, provide ATV side-by-side rentals. 7, provide llamas for pack trips. We already leased the grazing for our cattle and have had horses at the ranch, so providing horseback and riding lessons, cattle drives, trail rides, pack trips with pack llamas for the do-it-yourself hikers would be a natural transition for us. The cost to Deer Springs Ranch would be zero, nothing, but the benefits could include both an increased interest in and financial revenue for the ranch by providing a fun and wholesome Western experience for existing members and their kids and grandkids. The potential also exists to bring in more outside patrons who would rent cabins and possibly generate lot sales. Some of the nuts and bolts might include, 1, reservations would have to be made in advance. On-demand services would be offered depending on availability. 2, patrons would be charged for services provided, horseback riding, ATVs, pack llamas, Dutch oven dinners, entertainment packages, etc. There would be flexibility to create their own experience and meet individual needs and wants. 3, we would need to use a portion of the ranch shed for tack and equipment storage. 4, we would need a small area, possibly in the store, to use as a training area to view instructional videos before horse riding. 5, release forms would have to be filled out prior to participation in any activity. 6, horseback riders would be required to wear helmets. 7, children under 18 would have to have a parent or guardian signature or would not be allowed to participate, and there would be no exceptions to that. The tentative season would be flexible, but most likely corresponding with peak season cabin rental schedules. Brad has 40 years of horse training and experience and is currently a certified tip trainer for the Mustang Heritage Foundation. He has 8 years experience in a full-service restaurant as a general manager. We have combined experience in working with large groups, organizing and hosting major events, cooking for and hosting large gatherings. And Brad and I are currently the co-directors of the Hunt Family and Friends Live Nativity, The Miracle of Christmas. That's a 36-year-old event. And this past December, we brought in over 15,000 people and shared a really beautiful and unique Christmas experience with them through that.
We saw that on the news.
Yeah, it was neat. Most importantly, we have a great love for Deer Springs Ranch.
And we'd like to share it with others.
Thank you. We're excited not only for our life here at the ranch, but also the opportunity to share with others what we've come to love so much. We welcome your thoughts and ideas. Sincerely, Brad and Tammy Hunt. Love. finally, I can say this, 149. Woohoo! So,
thank you.
Thank you. I think if we were to take a straw poll, I don't think I'm speaking out of years gone by, we'd be very in favor of what you're talking about. We've had Wranglers here. It was a great park, fun thing for kids. And our concerns are, of course, safety, liability, and probably cost to a degree. We want to be, it has to be a mutually beneficial thing. You know, it has to be worth for you to do it. But like if you go up to Bryce Canyon, Ruby's Inn, and go on a horse ride, you pay top dollar, I think.
I'd imagine there'd be like two schedules, lot owner schedule, you know, on the outside.
Are you going to get your outfitter's license?
What's that?
Do you have an outfitter's license?
I do not. I'm not sure. I haven't looked into all the requirements that would...
That would be the other thing we are saying, because we have BLM and we have National Forest, and they do require Wranglers that take people on those rides, and so our Wranglers had to have those licenses.
Our ranch managers had it back years ago. Had the outfitter's license.
None of that. I don't see a problem with conforming to all of those.
Yeah, it's fairly easy to do,
or whatever it is that you have.
They look at your experience.
Mom and Dad served a mission for the Ensign Ranch, the Church Ranch. It's the only ranch that allows
horse
riding, and they so they know a lot of ins and outs. That's Dallin and Shana went up there and worked for them for one season or two.
Yep.
Two seasons, and so commercially, you know, got a lot of experience along that line. Privately, I've taken the young adult, 200 young adults horseback riding for, 5 years in a row. And
that's what they're going to look at.
We never had an accident. We did have the church signed waivers and blah, blah, but they were all adults. They were 18 and over.
Do they also require a pretty large insurance policy?
I'm not sure what the insurance is going to be. I did talk to some people about the insurance. If you don't have to keep it for the full year, we could get insurance for the period of time that we would be doing, you know, activities that would require insurance.
So let me interject this. I just want to... The general idea, are all of you board members in favor of this? Or are there any reservations other than some of the obvious things we just mentioned?
Doing it right, that's it.
Yeah, doing it right's good with me. It's,
I mean,
the family has definitely got my respect.
So we don't question your ability. We've seen you in action and your cows and people around here, and we would love to enrich the experience of our members here. And what you're talking about is exactly what we need.
Yes.
But we just need to be safe about it and insured about it. And
exactly.
Yeah, we need you protected and us.
Exactly.
So,
the beautiful thing about this is bees is Utah has laws that protect the entities, property owners, ground owners, and the people doing it. The main thing is that there's no negligence. If negligence is involved, then there's fault. So if negligence becomes an issue, then I would become liable, because I don't want any of that liability myself either. So I want to protect myself from all liability, just like the ranch wants to protect.
I have malpractice insurance, but if I'm negligent,
it doesn't help.
That's exactly right. And so there's some things that have to happen, and she listed a lot of those things on the list that would prove that we were non-negligent in everything that we did, because frankly, I can testify to you far more greater than anyone else that horse riding carries with it inherent risks.
Sure.
As does walking down the steps outside the garden cabin, as does driving your car home to the thing. But
the monkey on your back that I see is you've got a little more of an idea of all your potential things. The monkey's going to be for you to be as in detail as you can with your overall plan. So I think the board could say, we're in favor of considering this. Please be even more specific. and find the answers to some of those questions.
That's what we want to hear.
And then we'll we'll entertain you hearing this again.
What kind of activities would be interesting?
I'm in favor of what you have on here, except for the ATV rental or ride with or whatever. Coming from this business, I know that once you get people like the horseback riding and the hiking and the llamas is all safe because they have to rent from you. But once you take people out there on their ATVs, they're going to come back on their own ATVs later, and it'll increase the traffic here. The other thing about becoming an outfitter, Forest Service requires you to become an outfitter. BLM requires you to become an outfitter. Our private property doesn't require that you become an outfitter. Forest Service has a lot of rules and regs about it. They don't just look at past history. Sometimes it's even like a lottery thing where they're going to look to see what companies in your area are applying for that type of a thing and saying, yeah, we want you. No, we don't. They're very, very...
persnickety.
Very, very, very. And the Forest Service is like one of the worst ones to deal with. So maybe when you're developing...
How close is the forest?
Yeah, saying maybe when you're developing your plan...
Top of the lot is the forest. Top of the meadow.
It borders Maine. There's BLM on one side, one corner is Dixie National. And I'll just share this with you. Ole Lindgren is insured and certified to do horse rides on the Bryce Canyon area. And for years now, I've had him come in to my family reunions. He'll bring 10 horses. And we'll ride, the kids will ride horses all day long. And of course I pay him it. But and just so you know, I do have a really marvelous round pen up there in a corral. And I do have some pretty good trails. But anyway, so what did you bring that up? Let's see.
Or I think we're talking about
requirements.
If you could concentrate your plan maybe on the general ranch areas and maybe stay, and the Forest Service is going to charge you per person. They're going to give you a limit on how many people you can take out as well. So maybe you want to limit it to like around the headquarters where you'd have the horses housed anyway, around on our association property.
You might even give Ole a call. He could be a lot of hider too. I don't know as far as the regulations. He could be saying he's in compliance and he's not. I don't know.
But
we go out onto the Forest Service all the time.
Yep.
I mean, we go onto that mountain, around the mountain trail, and go to see the great big tree, the biggest one around. And,
cool.
And all of that stuff. So that is probably your homework. Mm-hmm. Not just the idea, but being sure that you can be in compliance.
Jennifer first.
What I think could be done, too, I'm like Jody. I like all the areas that you have considered as possibilities for the ranch. But you might want to divide it into two sections in terms of, I like what you could do, one part could be your horseback riding situation. The other one could be, like you've got catering Dutch ovens and entertainment and campfire music. You could do it in two sections. Whereas the horseback riding may take a little time to get together. But as Phil is saying, we're really interested in getting something even set up this year. So Dutch oven cooking, music, different things around here, something for the children like the horses and a few things like that. So that could be an immediate kind of thing that we, if it was priced out, what kinds of things and charges, if you could bring that kind of information to us, we think that's something that could be started very soon. Whereas a horseback riding we'd like to have done, but I would hate to have everything put on hold because we can't get the horseback riding stuff done. But that would be something of value. But start with something, get the people knowing who you are, what you do, how the things are offered by you, and they go, well, yeah. Then you're going to get the membership behind you and say, we like what you've done. We like what you have ideas to do, so therefore, let's move it along. So, different categories of how you're going to address it, and we can do immediate and in the very near future when everything's together, present it to the board. That's my idea.
Joe?
The only concern I have, I'm in favor of also the ATV rides. If they are guided tours,
to rent an ATV to a 16-year-old, heaven help you.
Yeah, if it's got guided tours are fine, but
there are people here
could,
that
until we get used to the people that we can trust, they can tear this place up.
Our thoughts were that there's some people that just aren't capable of horseback riding, but there's some really cool places that they could go see on, you know, in the side by side or ATV.
Well, you're talking about you driving them.
Yeah, not necessarily on the ranch or, you know.
Well, I don't care if they're on the ranch as long as they're guided.
We really, it's just kind of in general.
I just can't see giving a 16-year-old kid
specifics. But
let me give you a little background for some of you that weren't even around. At one point in time, we discussed storage units along part where the airstrip is. We four people and their ATVs and stuff because they don't have cabins and things here. We discussed who's the guy from Richfield that sold ATVs or he's still active. He talked about renting them down here.
Milo, wasn't it?
Milo, that doesn't sound right. He answers in all a lot of these posts. Richfield, no. Well, anyway, this again just a liability thing. So I think
wasn't Johansson's daughter hurt really bad on an ATV?
I don't know. I'm sure lots of people have been hurt up here.
I mean, up here on the ranch, yeah.
There's been some bad accidents.
So Candy's suggestion about don't try to bite off the whole thing at one time is probably wise. But as far as enriching the lives of our members and having things available, but you might find that not that many people end up renting or, you know.
Right, exactly. Might not be a viable thing. We don't know exactly how it's all going to fit. So, and we're pretty flexible. It isn't going to be, you know, my only source of income, but because I'm already here, because we already have the horses, because we already have cows, and we're all just, everything that we like to do, we feel like is in, maybe not 100%, but generally is in the same vein as why everyone else bought lots out here and come out here anyway. And so we just want to bring fun to the ranch, and so your families come here and they have, you know, a great time, and they're killing themselves to get back to the ranch again, and we want our families to be doing the same thing, because that's where we're going. Well, this is our plan for our family. We want all of our kids and our grandkids to have this kind of an experience.
So I think we can all say, move forward. We love the idea.
Yeah.
Solve some of those problems. Monkeys on your back. Okay. And get it organized. Okay.
Great.
All right. Is there a time frame?
We've already cooked for you guys for 2 years.
No, I'm saying time frame for you to get back to us for different types of prices. So if we put something in the newsletter and someone has a reunion, what kinds of charges are we thinking about? That's why I'm saying maybe our next meeting, if you can have paperwork presented to us or just sent to us via email or something, so we have an idea about what you're talking about, how much. It might be.
There will be some talk, probably, of people saying, well, heck, my brother does this too. Is there any kind of bid process on doing this? I don't know. I'm always in favor of simplifying it, and you are here, and I'm in favor of supporting our members in what you do. So I don't anticipate a big thing there, but all the more reason to be organized and have reasonable rates and what you can do.
So we haven't had anybody come in and offer it. I mean,
we haven't put out the word that we've been really looking for it.
Well, a few years back, we were exploring doing exactly this.
Dale wanted help last year. He wanted me to cook for 400 people 3 meals a day, and I couldn't do it.
I don't want to do that either.
But I'm saying that there's, and then the mayors have said that they would like to have like a Dutch oven night and stuff. I mean, I have people, I mean, we have the Friday night barbecues, and people sign up for them pay the reservation fee. I'm just saying that there's a, people want that, but we haven't had anybody say, I want to do it.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think we'll move on. And
my whole thing really is just the facilities. You know, I've been trying to kind of build up the corrals and, you know, the headquarters area, trying to.
More precise.
So there'll be more people coming in, and I think,
It'll be growing, some growing yeah. things on both sides.
Right. Right.
All right. Let's move on to, and thank you for coming, Greg. You're welcome to stay in the home or leave,
we're,
whatever.
We're in this cabin.
You said they were welcome to stay early, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you want to take a nap now.
When you get to kick us out.
Okay, we're going to move on to the Ollie Lindgren lease situation. Now, I'll briefly give the history. Most of you were here, Art. I don't think you had a chance to hear it, but I do have a total recording of Ollie giving his side of the story. And there is a lot of hearsay. People remembering a little of this and a little of that, and how many goats died, and where
we've
they
done
died,
that before, haven't we?
Yeah, and so all of that is. I don't think we need to have testimonials on all that kind of stuff again here right now. I think we need to focus at least for the next few minutes on this document, and I'll give you. I've talked to. To Doug, listen, Hunt, yeah, you're dead, Doug, right? And he feels it'd be a fiasco to have sheep, goats, whatever up here besides those cows, and they feel like they have that at least for another 6 years, which they do. So the question, and where we might be in double dutch, is that we, was this lease ever rescinded in any way? We have some legal documents. Jody, forward to mostly, I think you probably saw from Bruce Jenkins' group. There had been talk and inquiries to them, and you know, it was felt by them that his lease had been relinquished. However, he showed, you know, every year you'd have goats here or whatever, and then you'd take away it in the winter, and then you'd come back in the spring. To Ollie's recollection, he came back in the spring to scout out the watering, the grass, and all that before he brought the goats down. And lo and behold, the Hunts were here. And that's when he found out that we had made a lease agreement. So whether it was assumed that by Ollie leaving that he had relinquished all rights in his lease, whether it was, but we have no written documents, to my knowledge, other than that there had been discussion, we've gotten advice from attorneys, but there had been no written letter from the ranch saying, okay, Ollie, you didn't do this, this, that, and the other, although this lease is pretty lenient, and disqualifying you from having your goats here. Because you read this lease and we don't have any teeth in it, really. Or a letter saying, what are your intentions? Or a letter from him saying, I'm not going to come back again, ever again. We don't have those kinds of documents. Now, for a minute, we're going to read this lease. And then we've got to come up with how to deal with it. And I'll tell you, so it's either A, Ollie in some way or fashion did indeed not uphold or somehow something in here. So while we read that, you've got to be looking for that. And so the lease was null and void. You have to be looking for that. So either the lease did become null and void, or our past directors did indeed pull a pretty big no-no and lease over a lease and put us in double jeopardy. Then what will the remedies be if that you feel that's the case? The remedy Foley has proposed is that he would wait until the Hunt's lease was up and or try to work something out with them that would be amenable. Which, to my knowledge, he hasn't. I talked to Doug, and he had not. Well, he'd called him once, but never really had any conversation about that. So if we feel that we are tied to this lease, we can't get out of it or whatever, then that's one option that Ole would entertain, although Ole did not understand that the Hunts have, I think, another 6 years, right?
Yeah, 6 or 7.
And frankly, that. So do we want to fight this? Are we having any grounds? And we might have to get legal counsel again? Because we don't want to just kick the Hunts out in 6 years either, per se, you know? Mm-hmm. They're great partners.
Those goats were damaging in this place.
And so I think the feel for most everybody in here is we don't really want the goats. Huh. He's not talking about goats now. Now he's talking about sheep. So when we read this lease,
okay.
Does that give him any grounds for bringing sheep back? I kind of don't think he does. So let's read this thing word for word, and I want you to look for these things. Do we have, is it valid? Do we have a loophole? Or do we have a way out? Or is it credible? So I'm just going to read out loud, Joe.
You know, yeah, I've read it.
I've read it close
a couple of times before at home even, and I don't have the base talent to make a good decision. I think we ought to depend on our legal staff.
Has everybody read it to their enough? Then the decision here, Joe, is what do we really want to do, whether it's legal or not? What do we really want to do?
What?
His lease is done on 16, January 1st, which is him.
Well, he says he was denied. He wants his time.
He
came back, just scout the water holes and the grass, and then he was going to bring his goats, and he found the Hunts here, and he said, "Oh!" And then, from his point of view, he decided he likes the Hunts, knows the Hunts, he didn't want to make any trouble, and he then. That's on his decision, his side, then claims, and he has the sales receipts and everything, sold the goat herd that he had at a tremendous loss. And approximately, and he has retained legal counsel, and he would, in fact, sue the ranch for a $50,000 loss. That is what he told me.
Is that the loss that he actually incurred?
That's the loss that he actually incurred. $50,000.
I tell you what.
So that's what we're up against. Whether it's right or not, like Joe says, we're not attorneys.
We don't have the base talent to make that decision.
We're wasting time.
Well, so, I see two things on here right off the bat that kind of get my eyes. The first sentence, this document is to establish a working relationship between Ole and DSRA regarding goats. That doesn't have anywhere in here about sheep. So as far as negotiating to bring sheep back, that's a whole different contract.
Sounds kind of like the Wells versus Springs.
Okay. It says goats, not okay. And then number 8, Ole reserves the right to withdraw from this agreement any time without notice. I think he did that when he walked away.
He says he just left the employment of the ranch, but he didn't walk away from his lease.
He took the goats out, though.
He took the goats.
That would be walking away.
Isn't that normal for the end of the season? When you're going to take
He had them here all year round. When he was here,
even in the wintertime?
Yeah,
Paul.
Can I give a fairly accurate account of that time? That was right when we first got here.
Not this signature, but
not this. Okay.
I don't want to hash through what happened. How many goats were killed or slaughtered?
Things. Ole Lindgren will provide all management means. Okay. When we got here, Ole was not here. There was months where Ole was not here. And he said to the board that he would provide somebody to manage the herd, and there was never any management.
That's a good point. That's where we got legal.
That'd be a breach of contract.
My brother, the goats were dying underneath this porch and in his sheds.
Yes.
That'd be a breach of contract right there.
That's a breach of contract. They actually abused the animals.
We got that kind of opinion from the attorneys, right? They're not real specific, that copy of what you sent me. But isn't that what he's inferring? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but I don't. Let me see if I have it.
I have a copy of it.
Those are the goats who starved me that
well.
I that's a good point, Paul. And that's kind of why I wanted to go through this point by point and bring this.
I'm
kind of
looking forward to see a goat with long horns. I really have kind of an attachment to this because, you know, it was the first year we were here. And it was kind of like this nuisance, this thing that was just, okay. And at the time, I will let you know, because I've talked at length with John Harris, John Southwick, Barbara and Taylor Button. Those were all members of the board at the time.
Here it is.
And talked with them at length and went over what happened then. When they terminated Ole's employment, they felt bad because they didn't want to just terminate his employment and tell him to get his goats out of here. So they kind of said, you know what, we will work with you on the goats. Just let us know when the sale is, and let's just kind of work towards this sale. You can hear that in the meeting minutes. I've listened to
what would happen with the sale.
Huh?
What would happen at the sale?
And the goats were done. That he was
done. He wanted to get out of.
He wanted to get out of.
So he could have the goats.
See, we got good legal.
If you listen to the audio from
2008, all the audio in 2008.
May 2008, June 2008, April, May, and June.
And August.
And all the way through August, you can hear. Okay. You can hear a lot of the rebuttal on both sides. You know, they felt bad because they terminated Ole's employment, and they didn't want to terminate his employment and tell him, get your goats out of here. So they worked with him for a month or two until he can get the sale.
Thank you for this. Is
his attorney?
John Southwick. No, it was, we hired Jenkins, mm-hmm. evidently. Thank you for taking the time to discuss this matter with me on July 30th. It sounds hopeful that you will be able to reach a resolution with Mr. Lindgren without legal proceedings. If not, as I mentioned to you, I have engaged in some initial research which would suggest that the goat lease may be violated for lack of mutuality of obligation, which is exactly what you just brought up. If the lingering matter is resolved without my further assistance, please let me know at such time as resolution is reached so that I may close this file.
Now, who's that lawyer?
That was the lawyer we hired, Jenkins. You know,
Jenkins.
Bruce Jenkins. Exactly. And John Southwick was the president of the board, and that was the reply he got back on the. So, yeah, maybe we aren't attorneys, but we do have this opinion, I guess, and. And Paul pointed out that number 8 thing or whatever.
Well, number 8, the fact that he sold his herd was withdrawing from this agreement.
It would be an inferred thing, I think. But here again, we're not the attorneys there.
Well,
I say give
them there's two things. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we need to come up with an answer to Ole. And it sounds like we're thinking that Ole's lease was terminated by maybe this very phrase, mutual. A lack of mutuality of obligation, which is number 8 or whatever.
He sold.
Well, and that could be, he says he was forced to sell.
No way.
He'd have to prove
the situation.
No way. And he'd be a burden of proof of being him.
The whole thing, though, that there's no documentation. I mean, he's wanting our documentation saying that we terminated it. Where's his documentation saying that he still has his lease in place? It's over in January.
Yeah, it's
I can't go rent a house and step out of my lease 2.5 years into a 5-year lease. And
well, I don't think he was paying us. I don't think he was paying us anything.
Well, I know, but still, at the least, I can't come back in 2.5 years and say, I want
the rent.
He just took him away for the winter.
At what
point was going to come back?
And he came back the next year and said he wanted him?
He sold him in the fall.
Well, he says he was prepared to bring him back in the spring.
He sold him in the fall.
But there was no communication between him and any board.
If you listen to the board meeting minutes, it's clear. The board waited for him because he took him to the sale at one time and then brought him. Took him to the sale and they found out they were pregnant. So he had to wait another however many months to find out that they were and tag him. And find out that none of them were pregnant, so you can take them to the sale. And the board agreed to help him and to wait it out until the sale.
Okay.
My question is, too, maybe you know from talking to him, why now? Why is he coming back now on this?
I don't know, other than he wants to have a place for sheep.
He wants the...
And
sheep aren't goats.
Sheep aren't goats. Doug Hunt said to me, you did this 2 or 3 years ago. Came back on.
Trying to strong arm.
I don't remember any of that. But
we've never seen any.
But whatever his motives are, he's making this claim that that we unilaterally terminated his lease. But I guess we have this. I feel comfortable with the fact that we have this legal thing for the attorney. And if push came to shove, we'd probably be on
it. The question I have is, has anybody asked Larry Clarkson? Because he's the one that actually...
I have.
And what does he say? Because he and Ole obviously were... They were talking to each other because they both signed this document.
There was a lot of... You notice there's only one representative of the board on there.
Yes.
But he was the president at the time.
Larry was, he wasn't the president at the time that this was signed. Right.
Yeah, he was.
When it, well, it says that he was, but it wasn't.
He had to sign it. He had signed it once, and then people objected, and then he came back to a board meeting and signed it in the presence of the whole board. So I think the lease was signed. It was at one point in time valid. And whether it was broke or not, so... But he wasn't paying anything. It was the ranch wanted to mitigate fire. The ranch decided they didn't have the money to buy a goat herd. Well, they said, hey, I'll buy a goat herd if I can raise them here. And with him seeing the possibility of making money on it, you know. But, you know, it's been a long time. And Ole's recollection or whatnot, we just need to take a stand. And it seems to me that the feeling of you at this meeting is that although many of us have dealings with Ole and like Ole and whatnot, the fact is it was all a mess and he messed up and the lease isn't ongoing and we just need to say sorry, but no dice.
Sure.
Is that the way you all feel?
I kind of agree.
But I say, have we talked to Larry in the last couple of weeks? Does he agree with us that this lease was...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was right at the time when Dale bought Cavendale. And that cabin was destroyed.
Well, hey, he did it when we...
I don't think there's any question about the lease being a valid lease or not.
No.
No. It was done, and it was redone in front of the whole board.
I hate to see Ollie lose everything. Like, you know, like if there's some kind of middle ground, but when you're talking 50,000, like, well, where do you even start with the middle ground?
Yeah,
that?
I was...
He's kind of a big talker, like, too, you know, and but that's what he says his losses were.
I don't think it'll stand anymore.
I frankly don't think he'll go to that.
No, I know.
You can't, yeah, you can't offer him anything.
Like, but ethically, like, I hate for him to...
You go to court with something like that, and then, well, you offered him money. That means you did something wrong.
This seems to me, this whole goat team seems to me like the ranch needed it at the time. Ole was going to go ahead and do it, thinking he could make money on the side, too, so it wouldn't cost us. Then they thought it went horribly bad. Ole pulled out the goats, tried to sell what he could to reimburse what he could out of his money that he put out, and the board said, okay, well... We're kind of done now. So now he wants to come back with sheep and try a different capital raising venture that would cover maybe that loss. And I hate for him to take that whole loss himself because I think the board then was responsible for this decision. But how much are we financially obligated back to him? And
what,
if anything,
do we have to offer because I know. We don't have a lease.
Yeah, exactly. We don't want to infringe on that lease at all. And if Doug already said that would be an issue, I really hate going that way. But, like, I mean, monetarily, what can we offer Ole just to make our part right, but at the same time, he's already saying $50,000. Well, we can't come anywhere. I'm talking $2,500, you know, something like that. But
yeah, but he doesn't have any goats.
You don't.
I know. Just to make it right.
Don't
offer
him anything. He violated the contract.
He did. He actually.
Joe's saying.
When we came.
Joe's
first.
Saying she agrees with that.
Yeah,
she's just saying that from. From a standpoint of the fact that we're taking some responsibility, we should take some responsibility for the fiasco. That's what she's saying. And that Ole but shouldn't be held solely for all of the mess. We had a part in it. That's what Jody's saying. Mm-hmm. And that maybe we should be willing to give him some kind of concession.
That's what I'm saying.
What we could afford or what we could do, or if it would even be right. What I've learned is usually... Take the hard road. Say what you believe. See what he says. And then if there's some mitigation, then let our attorneys do that. With his attorney, if he really wants to push it to that, maybe we should try to forego, like Jody's saying, and give her some help because it would certainly cost us a lot of money. Probably more money than might make Ole happy.
Yeah.
You know? It's going to cost us
small claims court, that's all it
easy. $5,000 to $10,000 if we get involved in it.
Well, he can only take it to small claims court. He's not going to hire an attorney.
Oh, no, he is going to hire an attorney.
Well, good luck with that.
He's already
hired attorney's cost.
I know.
I mean, he even phone calls on the attorney costs. No. He's charged by the hour.
So we did not violate this lease.
Well, does anybody listen to him other than me?
I read through a few of them, but you've listened to more than anybody.
Yeah.
So but even regardless of listening to them, I'm basing most of my decision on the legal opinion we have that it was terminated because of that wording.
Yep.
So should we get another attorney's opinion from this point?
I think we would go back to the very same attorney if we were pushed to.
Right.
By
so let's see what he does.
Do you want to wait till then?
No, we don't wait. We don't wait and get another opinion. We got an opinion. We don't need to spend more money on another opinion. We've got an opinion.
I'd say probably what?
Let it go.
Let it go. See what he does.
See what he does.
The ball's in his court.
True.
You know, he wants to hire an attorney.
What would be the really cool thing to happen is, like, okay, we let go his court. He responds back, okay, I'm going to take y'all to court over. We're going to see y'all for it. Okay. But then we put Bruce back on it, and then we find out, okay, we're not obligated to reimburse him anything. And then as a gesture, we give him some kind of small reimbursement, not legally that we're required to.
If Bruce suggests that we make some offer, then
after they've already settled the case and say, no, you don't owe him anything, and the lease was terminated already, then we, outside of the attorney, is going to send him something.
Well, what'll happen if he does follow through?
Flowers.
I frankly doubt he really will. But if he did, he would send a demand notice to us. We would forward it to our attorney. Our attorney would then... His attorney would be obligated to talk to our attorney.
So why did he wait from 2007 till now?
That's the question.
Because now he has some need for place to
appreciate. Yeah, that's another issue.
There's
right there. Is that we
say goat? 10 spots. It says goat.
Yeah. Okay, so I will make a.
I'll make a motion that we pass this back to Bruce Jenkins after we get notice from Ole.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would like a little discussion on the motion. I think the motion needs to be, we need to respond to Ole.
Okay.
Okay. We need to respond, and we need to feel good or not about saying sorry, but no. Even though that might be hard for us emotionally because we feel some wanting to help.
Well, I like what you told the bee guys.
Hey. Review documentation.
It is what it is.
And we feel like you relinquished the lease when you took the goats out, and the attorney says this when we had him review it before.
If I wrote up a letter, I would use the attorney's very words.
Yeah.
Well, you can actually just,
I would say, Ole, we regret to inform you we cannot honor your request. We feel that the lease was terminated. We did in the past have legal representation. Here is a copy of this letter. We know this might not be the answer you're looking for. We are open still to discussion, but at this point in time, we have nothing we cannot offer you. The Hunt's had a lease for 6 years. We're not in a position nor have a desire to terminate or not extend another lease to the Hunt's. And so there are lots of questions we could ask you, but we feel like the lease was terminated. And based on that, we cannot fulfill your request.
Perfect.
Is that all right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Is that a motion?
Hey, just for the record.
So do you want to make a motion that I write a letter?
Yeah.
As I just described.
Jody made the motion.
It's on the tape recorder, so you don't have to rethink it. It's right there.
Okay. I think I can come up with that.
Okay. Yeah.
And Ole is a dear friend of mine, and I do feel bad for the circumstances. Very
just for the record, I am good friends with Ole. You know, him and I talk every so often. And, so this isn't a thing against him. You know, I wish things could work.
And I would be in favor if he, say he said, I'll bring down 100 sheep and I'll put them, I don't know, over on the podunk. We keep picking on the podunk
lot
today.
One.
He's already got two over there.
Well, we said, if you can work something out with Doug Hunt, that is not threatening him, that he feels good about, we would be happy to work with, as long as Doug is happy. But otherwise, we don't have anything to offer you, like I said.
Yep.
Well, does Doug put cattle on over in Podunk?
I asked him about it. They thought about it, but this year they're thinking of going up Slide and Broad Hollow. They like to change.
Jody, the thing about Podunk is there's no association ground over there other than Lot 1. There is part of a lease, the BLM lease.
That's what it would be, the BLM leased area.
Right. But
Brinker Hoff already has it.
Okay.
Brinker Hoff has
that lease.
Part of the lease?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
So I don't know. Brinker I don't know what the solution
you're
would
right.
be.
I don't think
we have to come up with one.
We don't. We just will let it. We'll say that one thing, that if you can work something out with Doug, we're happy. Okay. Let's move on. We're going to be all day.
Yeah.
That you write the letter and I have information concerning was there a second to have that done?
Second.
Second, all in favor? Bob, your favorite of what we just talked about? Okay.
All right. There you go.
Some of these decisions, don't you wish we didn't have to make them at all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to move on to some more tough ones.
It doesn't get any tougher than the last two.
Yeah, it's all downhill from now here.
Okay, the next part won't be too hard. Jody's our financial guru, and we're so grateful you're here, Jody. Take it away.
Okay, well, this is a short one this time, so I'm not doing a year in review. We have about 71% of our income collected for the year. We have about $95,000 in the bank. I looked through the manager's account this last month, and I'm like, kudos to the kids there for keeping us under line this month. We are great. I guess they knew they're spending the month before, so we've got an approve this month, reprieve, and it's very, very good. We have a check for $2,000 for the Culberts to pay to Phil Hall, but didn't get cash last year, so we need to pay it out of this year. And you should have that check from Linda.
I haven't got it yet.
I believe it's in
your pile.
Oh, okay.
It's in those two envelopes.
Yeah, so that'll cover that one.
Sorry, I lost the check for a while. We moved, and I did finally open it.
I can't imagine ever losing a check for $2,000 myself. But hey,
I didn't know about it.
She didn't know about it.
So the key here is to give it to Renee.
How do you lose a $2,000 check?
I put it in this drawer, and then we moved it. And it got put in the box. And it goes to the bank.
You know, you can take a picture of it now and send it to the bank.
Since that was done on last year's budget, but last year's budget's already spent, we had $400 left over, that needs to come from this year's budget from the road. So that's Culbert's $2,000, and we'll make that adjustment in the QuickBooks entries, but just, Robert's not here. So you road people know. I don't know why she let it go so long, because every time you know month to month that that check hasn't gone through yet.
Yeah.
But we just figure Phil had enough money, he didn't care.
He's got too much money, that's just it.
Yeah, that's it.
But Phil, after 60 days, they're no good.
That's right. You violated the agreement. That's right.
So again,
watch out,
great job on
go
you two.
Paul write the letter.
Because we are really close to being,
second the motion.
It was checked for the previous road stuff.
Oh, that was the 1300.
So she forgot to wrap up for two.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay. Take it away.
And then we weren't supposed to do that this time. So now that, forget what I just said about the check for $2,000. We'll have Linda write that.
Okay.
And so we just presented Phil a check for the first payment of the $1,300 that we owe him for the roads for 2 years ago? 2010?
4 years ago, whatever.
Whatever year that is. So that's our first $1,300 payment, and I don't have that sheet in front of me because I didn't know he was doing that. And the next, we pay him that way, the same thing for like 4 more years, and then his dues are waived for being on a board member right now. So his one lot will be waived longer to make up for those two lots for 6 years or whatever it was. Okay. I don't have that paperwork in front of me. I didn't know she did that. And that's the end of my report.
Any questions that you have? Anybody else have?
4 minutes. Not bad.
Okay. Great. So, legal. Liability form for all ranch members and visitors reviewed. Is that what we had over here? Yeah.
You got a copy
of this?
Thank you.
I had an attorney write up liability waivers. And as I, in my email told Linda, so we might have our own kids and their kids, you know, if we're down there again, or now it's gotten to be our kids' in-laws want to wake up here with all their family, and or our neighborhood ward wants to come up or something. We so he helped me, Lowry Snow's pretty prominent attorney in St. George. That's where we got our form from. And I sent that to Linda, and she put it in the form. So the discussion in the past has been, hey, there are rattlesnakes up here. You could fall off the porch. There's lots of things. And in this day and age, you know, we did get into some suits and stuff, horse accident, this, that, and the other. So I'm sure if we do in horses or these other things, there'll be separate liabilities. This is a general liability form that covers things generally, and at least maybe not. Nothing is foolproof in the legal world, but it is
better than nothing.
At least a little bit of it says, "Oh yeah, we did something stupid, and we can't make the ranch pay for it because we did sign something saying, you know, we take some responsibility." Yes, Lee.
Gordon, as attorneys I've talked to, a liability release and $1.50 might buy you a beer.
That's right. It's only that's true, but it does
the person from trying to sue you
because they know they signed it.
So they think long and hard, or they get
right
some real hard. Yep.
I like the word negligence. You know, you've thrown it around. You know, we try and keep things, you know, tidy. You know, the roads are straight, and you know, there's not a, you know, obstruction to where somebody could hit it, or you know, a cat.
You didn't park the grader in the middle of the road in the middle of the night.
Put a chain up. Yeah. You can't see.
So, are there? I would ask: are there any objections from the board that we use this form?
If they just
come up to their own place, they're not just saying something. They don't, no need. This is if they schedule or lease a cabin.
The way I read this, it says, even if the ranch is at fault, I have a hard time signing that.
It was written by an attorney.
I have a hard time signing this.
You know, and the other thing about that, Joe, and I understand your point there, it's just a form that they're accepting some of the risk. And I think you're thinking that if it's our fault, we should be paying for it. But damn it, we will be paying for it if it is
Either way, we will pay for it.
And just because a person signed off on this, if you signed off on this and then say we had a function here at the cabins and down here and we're at cabin 3 and they fell off that bad stairwell that needs to be fixed or whatever. We're going to get sued no matter what if they get hurt on that, whether they sign this paper or not.
And we have we have insurance that, just like homeowners insurance, yeah, that pays for some basic things.
So I don't know if I worry about that too much because we are going to get sued for that anyway.
And I'll just tell you from past experience,
again,
people look at this and go, huh, one of these, but then they sign it, and I've never had anybody say they wouldn't sign it.
Yeah.
Because they want to come.
But I can certainly see where he's saying, like, I wouldn't sign that because it says if we're negligent, we're not going to be able to sue. But
you're
going to sue anyway.
That's kind of admitting negligence, even if it's our fault.
So it is just regular legalese, I believe. I don't think, you know, so.
So what is the intent of how this would be dispersed? Or when it was...
They would have, I don't know if they would have to bring a form with them or if in our day and age when they make a reservation legally.
We can put it up on the internet and they can print it before they come.
And they can burn it or.
This is just for cabin use?
Or if we have the electronic capability for them to check something on their reservation.
So if they're making reservations on the internet, I guess this should be on there and they can't go forward unless they sign it.
Unless they click agree. Right. I agree to these conditions.
Well,
how do we know that they've done it?
They got to bring in a copy and show it to
you.
Well, it either has to be somehow indicated electronically to Linda.
Yeah. You won't be able to. If you don't click agree, you can't move forward to make the reservation.
You know, like just like when you sign up for an app or for something, you have to agree to the terms.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Or you can't even get the reservation.
There's a hard copy of the newsletter going out this month. Is that right? Can this go out with that?
Well, it'd be kind of a waste of paper.
I think it'll just find it.
And then we keep a file in our house? Or
no.
Is it?
No, it'll be electronic.
They won't be here if they didn't.
The responsibility of getting this signed is on
Linda's
back.
Yeah. Unless we have people coming, then we need
Yeah, then you need to have them.
You should,
like walk-ins and or people come, and Linda said, you know, they brought three different people and they first signed up for it. You need to get this signed by when they get there. Then you, you know, there'll be times when you have to.
That happens all the time. People
we probably ought to get it signed before we accept any money.
Mm-hmm. Generally, yes. But then if they change a family, then.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Renee stands at the gate. I'm saying you stand at the gate sometimes and say, and she collects that from when they arrive.
Yeah, I do. And what I do is I just put.
And they're our relatives.
I'm sorry, this is a necessary evil.
You gotta come
yeah.
They're our relatives, yeah.
And they actually believe you?
Yeah. I'm nice.
You're nice about it. But
is there a need for a vote to accept that as part of our.
Let's do it just to be official then. I'll make a motion that we instigate the use of this legal liability form for all reservations, and that Linda's primarily responsible for enforcing this, as well as Paul and Nancy, who will collect them if that wasn't accomplished in some other way. That's too long a motion. Just
say we're.
So my motion is to set this legal liability form for reservations, people staying here at the ranch.
Camping and otherwise?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, it says first sentence says any and all activities.
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Okay. You second the motion?
I made it.
Oh, you made it. Okay. I'll second it.
Oh, you made it? He made it. I seconded it.
You seconded
it. Okay, all in favor?
We need some younger members.
We're such a
Remember to come here.
Where are my glasses?
Jump in.
Okay. I mean younger members in the 50s.
I just wanted to move on.
Okay, let's move on to roads, fire protection. Robert Musco. Did we have something? MOU.
I think we're still working on that, aren't we?
Yeah, but that was. For in the minute, you might want to state something in terms.
I've got some stuff that I need to talk about that I can wait until my.
So Robert's not here, and we have had the goings back and forth about the gravel pit. But is that Robert?
Yes.
Yeah, and he is working on it. It's not finished yet, but he should be by next time, and probably even before that, he can email all of us. It's just a couple things he's going to add in there.
And I hope I just read through it.
On the gravel pit, you read through it?
Yeah.
I only had one thing I would like to add to it, I think, is the fact that it should be up to Paul's discretion if any heavy trucks are driven with a load of dirt on them when the roads are wet, because that'll tear it up really bad. So if it's raining that day and the trucks show up to move dirt, I think Paul should have the ability to say, stop, time out, come back tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he pretty much has that ability anyway, don't you?
Well, yeah. It's really...
Well, this way, the board's back.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Say, hey, this is decided by the board. I'm sorry, I got to inform
you. Yeah, you push it off on us.
Yeah.
And then if they do continue ruling the roads, then a fine will be incurred, period. That's the policy.
Just say, Phil said.
Yeah.
So we'll add that to number 6.
You just noticed my hair is turning gray. I've been telling my wife. The stress of this job is.
I'm telling you.
Okay, any other additions at this point? Otherwise, we'll continue to massage this via email.
Okay. I'll pop that over to an email to Rob.
Okay.
Robert Musco.
And I also added on there to add my name on the contact.
Right.
What number is that?
It's in a couple places. I think.
I thought he did that.
Well, it was in the.
Brent Colmore and add Robert Musco and or ranch manager. Number 5, he's got it there.
Should we add Robert?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on number 8 too, so you're covered.
Okay.
I think everything's been going back and forth. Email has been doing pretty good. I've been watching it.
All right, if we have a unanimous vote by email, that is okay.
Yes.
It's unanimous. Otherwise, we'll have to go on this one next week.
Yeah.
Okay?
Good.
All right. Let's move on to Joe, cabin equipment and cabin maintenance.
The only thing I got to say is so far, you know, Paul and Nancy doing a good job in cabin one, and everything else seems to be going smooth. They're here hands-on more than I am, obviously. This is the first time I've been up all year. The only question I had for Paul was we were going to make a decision on getting three estimates for the stairs on cabin three, and I'd made a suggestion on using, the Winslow block?
Windsor
block. Did you? And you said you might know somebody that put those in.
Right.
We can use that for part of the way down and make a turn and come down.
So with our conversation about cabin maintenance and some of the things that we've done and some of the things that we'd like to do, I don't know if this year is going to be the year that we're going to do that.
Well, then we have to do something temporary, otherwise it can't be used.
Yeah. I looked at it, and the framing of it is decent. Where I can shore up the one side on a section, and right. I think what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get some 2x4s and just kind of redo the rail and the deck part. A couple $100 compared to a few $1,000 this year, and then we can budget it for next year. What really kind of threw me is I thought we had some money in contract services, which you guys told me to contract that out. And so I thought contract services would have covered that. Apparently contract services is just roads. But, I mean,
leave it to Jody to ruin that.
So,
yeah, that's what I understood.
I'm sure we could pull some money from somewhere to get it done, but I think I could get it taken care of where it's safe.
And being that we have this new cabin thing in play this year, and the extra proceeds from that could go for specifically that project next season, if you can band-aid it up this year, and then we'll have the money to do that.
Okay.
And top priority on that.
Anything else, Joe?
No, that's all I got.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Let's move on to HOA, web development and communications. Bob, anything you want to
talk? On HOA, I wasn't able to make the last couple of months meetings over in St. George with them. And they
you
get
said
really...
Them, it's just the... Define who them is again for me.
The Homeowners Association. They're in St. George.
Homeowners of what?
State.
The state?
Just the... close these people here.
Okay.
Oh, that thing.
You say it's like a club? Or is it governmental?
Well, no. Governmental. Everybody, you have to join it, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
we joined it, and we go there for information.
Well, I mean, we're a member of it.
Okay. On the state regulations for HOAs. Is that right?
And federal, HOA, too. Because they have rules. And... the last couple of months, it didn't really pertain much to us.
All right.
In our functions, and so I didn't go to them.
All right, we'll certainly leave that at your discretion, Bob, and thank you for when you do go and make that effort on our behalf. All right. Water resources.
Okay.
From what I understand, and I'll turn this over to Jody, that our water committee has been going back and forth on a number of things. And as you may or may not know, I think I might on there. Part two of this was correspondence with Barry. Barry Clarkson represents Dale and a certain group of water seeking people, as you know. And I don't think I need to rehearse the whole thing about the responses we've made and the information we've given as to our endeavor to Dale and others that we have tried to organize ourselves and refine the whole process. And so Jody's going to report to us on what progress we may or may not have made to that point. From what I've heard, we've made some good progress. But again, we're getting quite a bit of pressure from Dale's behalf to be able to move ahead with their original plan. So, the pressure's there. Jody, where are we at in being prepared?
Well, you know, like everybody knows, this is not an easy feat. We do have, this is my paperwork alone just on this one issue with the water on Meadow Canyon. I mean, I have a whole folder full of Meadow Canyon stuff from the past. This is just from the last month or two. So basically, you know, there's really two different positions going at this to try to find some amicable agreement that makes this work for parties that want to have water from association-owned springs and assets, and from the association members themselves. So one of the stances, and this has been drawn up already, that we want to allow the members to use their 0.45 from an association-owned spring, but we don't want to have it regulated by the board or by the association. We have a somewhat of a draft document prepared on that has the nuts and bolts of how it's supposed to be done, what needs to be done, but no regulations from the board on how, you know, if it's going to cost anything or for them to use it, and how future members would be able to access it later, that kind of thing. It's just let them do it. They reap the benefit from it or not, depending on if they have a flood come down the hill away and wash that whole system out. So we aren't responsible for it. That's one position that's in place, plan, whatever. The other one in place, or that we've been working on, is an agreement that trying to find the terms and the scenario and agreements where that the board does regulate the water use off the land because it does belong to the membership, and how we do it fairly, and what do we charge for that, and if someone were to come in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and want access to that water, that they are able to do so without having to pay another private member access to what the system is they bought. So we've got two different things going on here, and basically finished a draft of that section this last couple weeks ago, which I have emailed to you. So kind of wanting to get some real good brainstorming going as far as how do we meld these two things together. If they can be melded together, how do we do that to make as little overseer from the board as possible, or from the governing, whatever board's in place as possible, but still keep it fair for the membership in the future. So that's where we're at right now, and that's going to require a lot of discussion, which I'm thinking a workshop type thing, because it's not going to be done at a board meeting. This is sit down here, look at these documents, thoroughly digest the documents, and see which ones can we go like this on and make this happen.
And let me throw this in. We had, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, there was talk we looked at selling lot number one. Do you remember, Art? It was commonly owned property by the membership. And the legal opinion we got from Bruce Jenkins at that time was you cannot proceed with that unless you have a unanimous, because of your association type, you have to have a unanimous vote. It means everybody would have to say yay before you could do that. Unless you somehow changed your very core bylaws, covenants, whatever. So it begs the question, this is a commonly owned asset. And we have in our bylaws the ability to move or grant the process, the 0.45 acre feet of water in there specifically from one water resource or well branch to a well when it's ready to do that, you know, a state-approved well. But that is from ranch to private. The dilemma we have in the shaky ground, because of what I just told you about commonly owned assets, is we're being asked to take a member's part of water right and transfer in or change to not just a well, but to a commonly owned source. And also then change the nature of the source or change it to in a way that it is something that other members are charged for, that there's construction costs, and then, you know, the whole scenario. So that there's the opinion that we need further legal opinion on this before, no matter what kind of document we draw up, can we indeed do what we're being asked to do legally anyway? Do we have authority as a board, or does this have to be something voted on at an annual meeting, or are bylaws amended to change the wording from well to water source? Those are the kinds of questions that we're up against. And in the past, they've been kind of set aside, and some have a feeling that it was because of interest. What's the word I want?
Conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest, that certain things were moved along. That might be water under the bridge or hearsay too. That's why I commend the Water Committee, and I see there are these two points of view. But can we even do those or not is a question. And do we want to make this a matter of a bylaw change and or vote at an annual meeting? And I don't know that we have a legal understanding to do that. But that's just kind of my questioning now to you a little bit.
And when this issue came up about when it first started, like 4 years or 5 years ago, somewhere in the process between now and back then, Ed Robbins, the attorney, our attorney at that time, he's still our attorney, also sent a letter saying, you know, they wanted to do this. And he said, you can't do that. It's association-owned entity, or however he phrased it. I don't ask
asset.
And you can't just give it to somebody like that. You just can't, the board doesn't have the authority to do that. I've got that letter. I don't have it with me today. But anyway, that... It's still, even after that, the board pushed that aside. It didn't matter, and kept pushing forward to it at the time. And I forgot some parts of this too, but in this process of going through we've done, I've contacted different agencies over Arizona, New England, across the country on how this has been worked. Besides the whole association issue, how does this work in other parts of the country? How do they get past this? And from getting legal contracts from them, I've devised a really good co-op. This is legally approved by a lawyer that put this together for a group in northern Arizona. So I do have a joint venture agreement from people like in the Podunk system. If this were to ever happen again, like on Phil's lot or Podunk or everywhere else, that private members want to share well between them, this is a great little contract to have signed between all those parties, but the board has nothing to do with that. This is just the first step, one of the first steps in preparing the documentation here for once I got this one together as a co-op, like with the rules, who plays, how you play in a co-op, and then go deeper in that, and then how do we do it as an alliance from a water-owned source that the association owns, if we're even allowed to do that, if it takes a membership vote, or whatever the process is. But this is still at the beginning baby stages, but yeah, a lot of work's been put into this already to do this. So I think it's time, number one, we find out from the attorney what needs to be done, what legally we're supposed to do.
Now I can say Benjamin Clarkson offered to do all this kind of legal work.
Barry.
Barry. At Gratis, you know. But I my response was to him, although we really appreciate that, it just smacks too much of a conflict of interest.
Oh yeah.
And told him thanks, but no thanks. I hope you feel all right about my response that way too.
Absolutely.
If anybody feels strongly, now it's time to tell me.
No, you can't have Barry be his lawyer and our lawyer. That doesn't work.
No. It's a bad divorce, isn't it?
That's a conflict of interest.
I held off.
I don't think he would even take it, would he?
He did. He said he did. He would do it.
I have held off contacting Bruce Jenkins to just have a little more focus on what am I really asking him, you know, before I spent association.
We need to get a lawyer that's very familiar with water rights.
Oh.
Well, I think that it has
there is a lawyer that is very familiar with water rights
and
water rights in Southern Utah.
And it's also going to be a non-biased opinion.
Yes.
Just somebody that...
I've been in contact with Vance about it. I met him at the water conference a couple months ago.
Right.
And he's super knowledgeable. He's probably one of the best on the West Coast for rural water rights.
Where is he practice?
Up north.
Salt Lake?
Up in Salt Lake, yeah.
Well, then, see, so our question to him would be, so here's the question, too. I mean, we have Jenkins, who is kind of our premier authority on associations. Mm-hmm. If he says we can't do it without unanimous vote, then no matter what even a water attorney would say about this or that or the other, we need to know that, right?
True.
Then this other attorney could help with documents for water usage, shared this or that.
Do you have a name, Paul?
I can go get the card.
Okay, later.
So, which one do we need to contact at this point in time?
I think Bruce, the association, let him read the bylaw. And see where he says.
And one more time,
says.
And see if he thinks this is truly carries over, not just like property, like lot one, but the water, which is
right.
Still property.
I think we need to find that first.
We may want to check through the water first. That's more powerful. I mean, that's as far as us as citizens getting the water, I think it might be more of a such start there than with him.
Okay.
Because the water right could actually override.
It doesn't. The association rule overrides everything, even Utah law.
Yeah, but if water is pretty powerful.
Yeah, but no, I think.
But he wouldn't have the technicalities of transferring or not. But
he might just say, "Hey, can't do that."
Now here's the thing. On our committee, Vance is of the opinion that, and for the record, I'm kind of saying this, that Benjamin.
Barry.
Yeah, there's Ben and Barry.
Yeah.
We got an email. All of you probably got a little email from Vance about that there's a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I should be reading that into the minutes, or I think that might be just a good reply that I would have formulated to Barry about what they're asking. And all about the 0.45 and what kind of water right in the process. Dale Clarkson sent me an email saying, I don't think the board understands the water right situation, and could I have a couple of people come and talk to them about it? And so I didn't have him come today.
Thank you.
Anyway, okay, so we got to move. We got the decision we have to make. Then is Jenkins or the water guy, and or what are we willing to spend? But I think we have to get the answer. And I need to give another response to Barry.
Well, is that his official response? This official Vance's letter that... No.
No,
is that Barry's official letter to us saying that he...
It's just like my email.
Yeah.
Is this the new one?
Was that the original?
This
is April 2nd.
That just came.
That was from Linda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can look at it.
Is it the same as the email?
It looks the same to me as the
email. Okay.
You know, going along with Phil's train of thought here, in the regulations on section 12, I'll just read a couple sections. It says, until the member is ready to drill a well, states very specifically. And then the last sentence says, a water right is inseparably connected to the association lot and cannot be sold or transferred. So, how can you transfer it to association land to a spring if it says right there you cannot transfer it? That's our bylaws, complete.
Right.
And unless the association members change this, we're sunk. I mean, he's sunk,
And not that we shouldn't change
that. We'll get in trouble if we give them permission, the way I look at it.
But I think this is a whole association matter, and I think it's a matter of law, so I think that's
why we're just, it's not just, it's not just Dale.
Right. No,
it's anybody. It says lot. It doesn't say Dale. It says a lot.
After we find out the legal interpretation of that, that we are correct in that, yeah, I would. That's what we need to try to do, is make a plan for lot owners that, okay, now what way do we go about doing this to let them access it?
Yeah.
And that's where all this background work comes from, too, and would be put into play.
You're on the right track with it.
Yeah.
Well, good, we can use one of those.
You want me to read a, I can read a paragraph here from Vance, if you'd like me to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Still.
Last I heard, Barry was still pushing for us to transfer the water as soon as possible to Dale using a water deed quit claim. Talking about the one in section 12.
12, correct.
Barry is completely misunderstanding the process whereby the ranch transfers a water right to a member. You don't just quit claim it. Transferring a water right via a water deed and report of conveyance is only applicable when you are transferring an entire water right, which would not be the case. As I've outlined many times in the past, you have to go through the segregation and changing type of use / point of use process with DWR and have the new segregated water right approved before anything else can happen. Whether or not the amount segregated from a ranch water right comes from a well or a spring makes no difference as far as the procedure that must be followed. The process is nicely shown in the steps taken by John Martin when he drilled his well on his lot. Note that Dale himself signed page 3 of the application for permanent change of water, which was the start of the process, and the actual water deed at the end of the process, so he knows full well what has to happen. If we don't do do things in the proper manner, we could be in violation of the conditions under which Meadow Canyon Springs was claimed, brackets, usable outside the assigned place of use, and if the water is to be used for culinary purposes, usage not of the type originally specified on the water user's claim. So I'll start the sentence. If we don't do things in the proper manner, we could be in violation of the conditions under which Meadow Canyon Springs was claimed, and administrative action by DWR could be taken. And this is his opinion. I still really, really believe that the decision as to whether or not the ranch allows water from a ranch source to be used as a supply for a private water system is one that must be made by the membership. And that would be in keeping with what I recall of Bruce Jenkins' advice. I know that Dale, through his proxy, Barry, wants an immediate decision so he can start digging up the meadow again. Perhaps when I explain to them what I've outlined above, it will show them down. It will slow them down until the membership can vote. So I think Vance certainly has a handle on the process. But
are you
the very
copy of that?
Sure. The very question, though, is what can we do legally, really, with commonly owned assets of the ranch? And so, so I would like a motion that I contact this week Bruce Jenkins.
I'll second that. Or I'll make
second
it.
All in favor? She made the motion. Second?
Okay, yeah.
Second by Art. All in favor?
Aye.
And I would make a motion, another motion, that that I allow Vance. Well, I don't know. Vance is of the opinion if Barry has been hired by legal counsel, that
only Barry should be talking to us from this point on, and that we should only have our legal counsel talking to
exactly.
us from this point on.
Yeah, I agree.
It will cost us. So I want an affirmation that I can instruct Bruce Jenkins. Not only would we want an opinion, but that we would list him and name him as the person to whom...
Our legal counsel.
Our legal counsel.
Yeah, on this matter.
I would make that motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye.
In the meantime, I would admonish the Water Committee, just moving ahead. You know, you have these two different opinions, and I understand you want to meet. Some of you will meet this Monday.
Well, that's to go over ditches.
Ditches and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. So
do you think that it's safe to say we can put this on the back burner until they come up with the legal answer? This is a lot of work. And right now we just have two proposals or two ideas. Or do we keep working on this in the meantime in case they said, no, okay, you can go ahead and sell it.
Your work could be in vain.
I don't think
we should go any further unless we legally know we can give it
Thank
to
you.
Them.
Well, then, we'll, after we have this opinion from Bruce Jenkins, then I think it's then time to talk to the water expert.
Yes.
All right?
Yep.
Okay. And don't forget now, you know, when this comes up in the future, whatever, I have this great already legally approved document for people wanting to transfer water between wells and different lot owners to cover their butts so we don't have another podunk thing happen again.
I can tell you, I think what will happen is that we'll be proposing an amendment to number 12 in our bylaws for Rita to fill in some of those.
To make lines. It make the verbiage more easily understood.
Well, we need to do the whole bylaws anyway.
And so we have to give a certain amount of notice that we're going to do that before the annual meeting. And will you at least research that as part of what notice we have to give if we want to amend the bylaw? And we'll find out if we do, in fact, and how much we want to and all that.
Do you want to, like, try to do amend the bylaw number one by itself, number 12, or any, like, we really need to review the whole bylaw, but that would take more time than...
You can do individual ones.
You can do an individual, and I can tell you from the struggle we had in the past.
Yes. Okay, just
wait. We came very close, and then tried to come very close again and spent a lot of time, made compromises, and then in the end, Dale withdrew. And so that's what happened the last time. And so I think it would be better to just tackle a specific thing at this time.
And maybe we can do more than one at one time, maybe.
Jerry. What did you mean by having this problem with this sort of podunk thing?
Well, I hear a lot from the podunk people, and like Kathy specifically, that people don't put their fair share into repair.
That has nothing to do with this. That has something to do with that spring over there that Dale Clarkson...
This is an agreement between private lot owners that they can have an agreement that they share sign contracts to, that if you wanted to drill a well on your lot and down the road wanted to share it with you, that you guys could all be legally covered and you would know, you would be able to legally collect your money for repair if they didn't pay it. So it's just a basic...
It'll be a suggestion. It won't be a requirement.
It's not a board thing, though.
It's just to help other members.
If you want to cover yourself, that's all.
No,
it's heard directly from the people, but...
It's just going to be a document that if people want to...
Who do you think repairs that water system now?
We're not talking
about... You do.
We're not talking about your particular water system.
We're trying to prevent people from having to get in your spot, Lee.
Hey, Larry, it would be like you selling a water right to Kathy from your drilled well. In other words, you dig a line to her and say, okay, I'm going to sell you half of this water right. Okay. That way you get paid for half of the pump when it goes down. That's all it's for.
But this is just some suggested stuff. It's not going to be a part of the requirement.
This is, if someone wanted to do it, here's paperwork. They'll cover your butts if you want to.
Okay, so we need to we need to move on so that we can talk about, I think, where in here were we to talk about the podunk thing, were we?
Number 10.
Oh. But you, yeah, we can, oh, yeah, okay, I have to go back to the ODOT thing.
We're still on number 10.
Sorry.
And now we're going to discuss Alfram's proposal, what we found out from neighbors, neighboring, and we did respond, our initial response to Valcram. And Jody, you want to explain that?
Sure, I have the letter that I sent back. After researching it and getting, you know, all the documentations from the podunk and the meetings, basically it was just a matter of making a phone call to Jonesy about would they allow the water line to go through his lot, and he basically, they said no. And his partner...
He's not an association lot. This is
above, this is north, right. And his, I sent a letter to all the people that Val initially sent an email to about this, and it says, Johnny Brown owners, the DSROA Water Committee has received and reviewed the proposal from Valcram requesting to run a water line from Mud Springs outside of DSR to the pond on lot number one, owned by DSROA, via an easement through Steve Jones and Mike Thompson's property, which is directly north of lot number one. We have received written and verbal notification from both Steve Jones and Mr. Thompson that they will not be granting any easement across their property. In the event Mr. Jones and Mr. Thompson's were to change their decision, please forward the written documentation of such to the DSROA Water Committee, and the proposal will be reviewed again at that time. But from talking to Jonesy and getting the email from Mike Thompson, they do not want any trespass on their land, and they will consider it trespass. And then we received a picture from Paul looking like digging has already been done on that area.
I don't know if it was last year or what.
Okay. So,
some kind of work.
On this other, these other people's private.
Yeah. And
I don't know if they did it or did it. Or,
all I did is I just went to that lot and just to document for the board's sake, you know, for the board purposes only. That was it.
So my question would be to the board, and I didn't want to pursue this without knowing from y'all, do I notify Jonesy and say, hey, you know, send that picture over and say, I don't know if you guys did this or whatever, but you might want to go check it out. But that's going to open up a can of worms.
I would suggest not.
Okay, just leave it be.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, let Lee update you.
Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
Hey, when you come over there Monday, I'd be glad to accompany you over there and show you our spring, which originates on Jones's property, which Dale and the other fellow up there owns lot 14, Dean, the mill. They filed on it. They've got a water right from the state to acclimate that water, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the trouble is, Jonesy and Thompson and four others already had a water right to that spring. That complicates the whole thing, really.
Yeah.
And anyway, this mud spring is on BLM land. That's on BLM land. It's a good ways from the fence. And Val wants to dig across Jonesy's property, which he's already done two or three times. And Jonesy and him almost got in a fist fight last year because of that.
Yeah.
And he told him, cease and desist any digging on my property from now on. There's bad blood there, I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
rightfully so.
To show you, you know, what's involved over there.
The digging that's done there right now, who did that digging?
I did that.
Okay.
For Jonesy.
Okay.
For a drainage. From that.
From the pond there.
From that pond that's overflowing.
Jonesy says every time that pond overflows, he gets it fixed up. You must be the one fixing it. And then Val comes in and changes it again and messes it all up again.
He fills it. Yeah. And it floods it again.
Yeah. So, and I did ask Vance before talking to Jonesy and getting the information from Mike, I did ask Vance, is there any other way from Mud Springs for them to get water to Lot 1,
sure,
the pond?
Just go around.
But you have to go on BLM land, right?
Sure, you're going to have to go on BLM land anyway.
Yeah, and so apparently Val did that before, and BLM made him pull it out and put it back to the regular. So BLM's not going to allow that either. It's kind of like a dead issue.
It's a dead issue. Yeah.
You know what, I think it's a dead issue. And besides that, just to be truthful, and I'd tell Val if he was here, and I told Robert Allen one time, the only one that's going to benefit from this is Val.
That's correct.
He's also the only one who benefited from our water. I don't like that. And feel that.
Yeah.
Well, explain to him about his latest proposal about going around.
Well, that's all he told me. If you can't go across Jonesy's property, he's just going to go around. Well, then he's going to have to get an easement from other people.
He's going to have to get an easement from the BLM to go on the BLM land.
And then private property.
He's not going to be able to do that.
So what do we do if he digs it? I mean, because that's happened.
Yeah, you can't stop him from digging it. Just have to get the enforcement on it after he's done it, because he's going to do what he's going to do. That's what we've seen from him in the past, haven't we?
I bet he doesn't. If you guys inform him of all the legalities that's going to happen, because all of his land is in a family trust, and he doesn't want to lose that.
So are you saying a letter should be sent from the board concerning this information?
Maybe by way of just a for your own information and a friendly advice.
I wouldn't do it until after Monday, until they all come over and look at it.
Okay. Yeah.
So we don't get shot while we're there?
Okay, so when you guys go over there, look at the whole situation.
It says armed pull-downers.
But don't come without an extra sheep,
I've
right?
written volumes.
You've got to bring a few more sheep with them.
Yeah. They're kind of sensitive group, aren't they?
Yeah, there's some stories out there.
Well, then, and I will entertain from the Water Committee, if you go over there and find whatever you find, and you think we need further clarification to Val, saying we've inspected, we've seen, we would caution you, you know, that we don't want to be a part of this because it is in violation of the BLM. If you get all the necessary approvals, then we'll talk.
Hey.
But until then, we are not backing you if you get in trouble on this. And I'll sign it.
So, okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right. Okay. Now, agriculture and wildlife, and it says Ole Lindgren letter. I think that's the same thing that we talked about. Right? Okay, Art.
I'll start with the stickers. Thank you, Paul,
for the 2015 stickers.
Everybody needs a new sticker.
Do we put them on our four-wheeler, too?
You need more than one.
So, forehead.
Including that UTV you drive.
Well, he's got a
greasy forehead.
He's been out in the sun.
We can't tattoo.
He's got four-wheeler.
I don't have to put them on my four-wheeler.
I would put it on your four-wheeler.
You have two more. Then.
Okay.
And one for the Kubota.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay. So I changed the color. I think the last time we did stickers was
do you want them on cars?
You should have ATVs. Five of them.
Cars and ATVs.
You got five of them?
So
what about the other truck? You got two four wheels and a Kubota. And the other truck and the other...
As with the other stickers, they go on the front left. The driver's side, real low, but visible on the driver's side.
Like, is that a bumper or windshield?
No, on the windshield. Okay. Yeah. So, well, I mean, I don't want to do this now.
Okay.
Yeah, let me.
I just, you know, we changed the color, and then I also put the year 2015.
How many of those do you have?
500.
I need 450.
Anything else, sir?
Liability. But pass that around.
We'll see you Monday. Thank you, Lee.
Somebody's going to get killed.
Thanks, Lee.
Keep the hot dogs warm.
The culvert that we over Johnny Brown.
Thank you, Brent.
You'll see it. It's a liability and needs to be fixed right away.
What's that?
Well,
first talking is about this culvert just exposed.
Okay. You see that picture. You see it a couple years ago. It was ten times worse than that.
Yeah, but it's getting worse.
Yeah. Where's that? It's on the list of stuff to do.
Oh.
Where's that located?
Johnny Brown. One other issue, and maybe you could help us out. This one is even more of a liability.
The sinkhole in Sykeen.
On the edge of the road. Lee, did Lee leave?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is the cattle guard. We're going to be replacing that whole cattle guard. We did this. The ranch did it.
The ranch?
That's Podunk. Yeah, with a grader.
Oh, we damaged it?
The wrench grader did it?
Yeah.
My grader did it?
No. Not when you were this back with, this has been 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
We were here.
It was damaged and it's getting worse. It'll take a tire out right now.
Oh, that's not a good thing.
You got to stay way over to the right.
Well, I've seen that, yeah.
My question is, we spent some decent money on that road. It's not even the Deer Springs Road. It's the Brinkerhoff Road.
Yes, but we did this.
We?
The ranch grader did it.
Let me see it again.
That's the only reason.
My grader did that?
That grader.
Before your time, I
think. Way before you were here.
Don't worry.
But it's getting worse and worse and worse. It needs a piece of maybe a
steel plate
railroad track welded in there or something before we have to replace the whole thing.
That's on the, which road now? The main road going in?
That's on the, it goes from Brinkerhoff to the BLM. But again,
are you going by now?
Again, we're maintaining that road.
So you'll see that. Are you going to be around, Joe?
Yeah, I'm going to be here Monday.
Okay. If you, it looks to me like you could take a piece of railroad track and just weld it in there, and it would, get rid of the sharp. It is really sharp. It'll stab a tire.
Well, we got some of that pipe left over that you started making a thing with. We can fix it.
Well, that could work.
Because that was special pipe. That was an hardened pipe.
I don't know how long it would take to weld it. But
I think, I don't know if Mark made cattle guard out of that or what.
Okay, let's all agree to make this a priority.
To me, the liability of this ranch is this kind of stuff. This could cost us. And the culvert could cost us. And yes, it was worse at one time, but it was just neglect then, too.
So
I've heard stories about that cattle guard. I've heard Lee's hit it a half a dozen times when he's drunk driving through there. I've heard
he's liable.
I've heard the tractor.
Nobody could argue that one.
I've been out there a couple times.
I've hit it a couple of times.
I've hit it there a couple times, and it's fine.
But the first time, the very first time that got flipped up was with our grader, and we were grading the road.
You know, Lee told me he doesn't drink anything stronger than pop. And he says it's pop.
Yeah, kidding, right?
Okay, so it sounds like there's history, but regardless of the history, we are taking responsibility. Everybody feel good about that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, and so that we will move ahead, Paul, whatever it takes to fix those.
I have a cattle guard we could replace it with. That's
the whole thing.
Well, that might
be an idea, and then we have
the other one and use it somewhere else.
Well, I'd like to put a cattle guard here.
I'd say take this one off and bring it over here and put it by the front gate.
That's
what I was just saying.
Yeah.
Because it's got to be heavy duty enough to carry
how about the same truck? Whatever's easier for Paul.
Okay. Whatever will get the job done the quickest and is easier, and within mind that we're going to use another one of this.
Well, this could be fixed easier anyway if we had it out.
So we all agree Brent's going to fix it.
That's right. He loves
it.
You're done.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Step out again.
That's what you get for coming to the meeting, Brent. That's all I got.
It's doing Gazinski.
There was a few other areas on the ranch, but I'll get with the road person.
Okay, so I will be formulating that letter soon to Ole, because I'm sure he'll be talking to you. And I'll send it out to you first for your perusal. So, when will we be having our next board meeting?
I need 20 of them.
You know how many vehicles I got to throw? Three four-wheelers and two vehicles.
Let's look at, where's my calendar?
Gracias.
I brought a calendar too.
Next.
We got here. This is questionable. This is Mother's Day.
Hey, Jody?
Yeah.
This is questionable because it's Memorial Day weekend. So you got two weekends that are.
What a perfect place to bring people for Mother's Day.
There you go. So if we do it here, it's going to irritate a lot of mothers. And if we do it here, it's going to irritate a lot of families because that's a 3-day weekend for a lot of people or a 4-day weekend.
How about Guatemala?
I won't be here this weekend, so
just get
on this one.
Let's do
this. So just get this one. This one. That's Mother's Day.
No.
Does anybody here care about Mother's Day? Like on the board or how long?
Yes.
I guess.
Yes. This is not where you
want to
come from.
Let's just get me.
Take your mother.
No, we can't
get
me. Okay, so either the 2nd, this is going to come up real fast.
Or the 30th.
Why don't we just have one next week?
Well, oh, the 16th. I'm this one today. Everybody else may be here. I don't know.
Well, I got a better idea. Let's adjourn the meeting and have it now.
That's what I just said.
Wait, I didn't hear you. Didn't hear you.
Well, I know you didn't.
We're so not ready for the meeting now. There's so much that has to be done.
I'm ready to go.
So we are right here.
I want to do something after the meeting.
What?
Logos.
It would be like just in 3 weeks.
Oh, we're going to have a meeting.
Yeah.
No, not yet.
This is the coolest case. When you drop your phone,
we
it breaks your pipe, so it doesn't damage it. It doesn't. That's the way it's made.
The 30th of May.
I've been tentatively in contact with them. We're going to talk to them again. We'll probably have something set up in May.
How does everybody feel so far about the 30th of May? I guess the 4th.
Does that mean you're going to combine June and May?
I'm good.
Yeah, we probably will.
You can combine, yeah. We can make the 30th of May and then we'll skip June.
It'll probably take us that long to get. We're not going to get an opinion by the 2nd of May. Well, I'm coming home that Thursday or Friday. I think I'll be able to come on the 30th. Okay, then, here. How about the time? You want to start?
Love that time.
Is one good?
Yeah, do you guys like that?
This is a good time.
I hate waking up early for this.
Okay. So be it then. Joe, do you want to?
What
want to adjourn?
Again? I didn't hear that.
Make a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.